This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You be careful with that stuff, Chris.
Well, the main reason is I've got... It's mainly chest congestion I have right now.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried Mucinex? That stuff is really good.
I'm the one who told you about Mucinex.
No, gingivitis did.
I also told you about it.
Oh, okay.
You kicked me out of your apartment so you can go buy Mucinex.
Oh. Oh, what were you doing kicking him out?
Oh, wow.
Well, better than the last time I was in his apartment, I was putting on dresses.
See?
He was.
I believe you.
But no, I've been using that, and it's still a little bit of congestion. Uh-huh. Yeah. In my chest, so it's I'm gonna keep coughing, so I'm using this to try and clear the airways out.
Yeah. Okay, we're not promoting any product in particular because actually I don't even buy the name brand. I buy the Walgreens brand.
Thank you. And this technically the stuff I'm using over here is now they don't sell it anymore because it's basically you're pouring hydrochloric acid into your lungs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, what you mean that?
But see, you know, if we didn't have a bunch of pussy alleged communist up there in D.C., I would have health care reform and I could be able to go get this, the real asthma medicine and go see a doctor to take care of my upper respiratory infection.
Don't worry, you'll have it by 2014.
No, I'm not going to see any sort of health care until, 20, when am I going to turn 65? You know, Lieberman I'm not even going to extend it to 55-year-olds.
Yeah, wasn't that sweet of him?
Yeah. Okay. Bastard's already getting your own.
Anyway,
go ahead.
That's our next rant.
Yes.
Apparently, they don't have testicular implants for them up in Capitol Hill.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Houston, Galveston, North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth. That's how you do it. Presents a New Year's toast to the ladies of the sisters, hosted by candidate Emperor XXVI Falcon Furr on Saturday, January 2nd at 11 p.m. over at Chance's Bar. It's benefit for his sisters through Rain 25 and 10% going to Chaos. Happy holidays, and make sure you've drawn a festive red circle around January 1st, 2010. That's the date, of course, for the third annual Brenda Thomas Memorial New Year's Day Social, hosted by the Houston Transgender Unity Committee. This event continues the wonderful tradition of the informal family-style open house that our friend and mentor Brenda hosted at her house on the first day of the year. There will be a new venue this year. Vanity Wild, who's been the gracious host for the first years of the social, will be unable to accommodate due to construction. A different location will be announced soon. It better be soon, Tim. It's coming up, Tim. Hello. I'll give you Tim's phone number. Call him now. send him an email at timbrookover@gmail.com. Tell him you heard about it on After Hours, but wanted to know where the hell to go. They're hoping to raise much-needed funds for the Unity Committee programs, which include the Transgender Unity Banquet, GLBT Pride Month activities and parade entry, the local Transgender Day of Remembrance, and the Peggy Rudd Transgender Scholarship Fund. You're also invited to join the Brenda's Betty Boop Circle. Membership is $25 for that. Like I said, contact Tim, or you can go to their website, htuc.com or .org. It's Hutuk. Hutuk.
Oh, Hutuk. I thought
Houston
you wanted...
Houston Transgender Unity Committee.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to talk.
Well, you know, he's a transgender dude, so...
Hey.
Let's Is it Hutuk.com or .org?
What?
The transgender unity.
Tuk.com or .org?
Hutuk. Is it .com or .org?
htuc.org.
Hutuk.
Yes. Yes. And Falcon is here.
No.
Yes, he is.
Oh, I love him.
Where
is he?
Well, we changed that.
And you didn't let us know?
I thought I had.
No.
He's here and for his interview running for emperor.
So, in other words, the people we expected to be here aren't here, and the people we didn't expect to be here are here.
Yes.
So to speak, yeah.
In a roundabout way.
There's no so to speak about it. He's right.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's the case. Hell of that, I'm going back home.
You're interviewing him. What do you mean?
I talked to him enough.
Well, so do I.
Special thanks out to Scott.
Well, let's
Scott.
Just throw him in a room and let him talk.
Oh, he will.
Oh, let Jim interview.
It'll be Falcon. Motion to adjourn first.
He's in the lobby listening to this.
Oh, he knows it.
He'll be in here in a second.
That's what we say at Louis meetings.
He's gonna be.
He took the talk-a-thon title away from John Szeszwak.
No.
Yeah.
He's gonna be busting in the door any minute.
Excuse me. I'd like to make a motion.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's what he usually says. You know, when he gets here, he says, "Motion to adjourn." Special thanks out to Scott for his donation to KPFT and mentioning us as
you
one of his.
You bet. And all the other programs that he likes. Where are the other programs that he likes?
They're not on the station.
Yes, they are.
After Hours, Queer Voices, The Prison Show, Dean Becker's programming, Deadbeat, and Moon Tower Radio.
Moon Tower Radio is fabulous. Yes. And Scott is fabulous because he does that every year at the end of the year. He always sends in a check like that and mentions to management the shows that he likes. And yet, throughout the year, during pledge drives, he still kicks in.
Oh, good for him.
The different shows, you bet.
Oh, that's
He's
what
amazing.
It takes. That's what it takes.
That's Scott Tillinghast.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's wonderful, Scott.
And he's a frequent caller to shows, this show, and it's
used to be a big call in to, Hot and Bothered.
Oh, yeah.
And I even heard him call in once or twice on her health, her her sex.
Yes, that's right.
And please remember, she's on Mondays from 6 to 6:30.
In the morning. So Scott probably doesn't give her many calls.
Then again, if you're still expecting to listen to her now, please remember, as we say in her honor, don't douche.
That's right. She didn't like that.
No.
Why?
I don't know.
She was an anti-doucher.
Yeah.
You have to go back about a month in the archives and listen to that one.
I was going
to
say, because you know you like a clean workstation.
I thought. You thought he got on a soapbox. She got on a vinegar box.
Get back to your announcements.
She hit us with that acetic acid tongue of hers and said, "No."
Let's bring them all down.
Oh goodness!
Fortunately, only kids who were in high school biology or chemistry class understood what I meant by acetic acid. Theater Suburbia presents a Houston premiere romantic comedy by Phil Olson, KOLD Radio, Whitefish Bay. Lars, the home of crappy talk, has just lost an advertiser for his radio show to Martha and her Bookbeat. You know she cheated in the sack race back in school, so she was an easy lay, big deal. The new boss, who knows nothing about radio, says no advertisers, no show. What is the guy to do, always competing against Martha? Lars has his work cut out for him. He needs a job and his dignity, but more importantly, he needs Martha. Stop in at Val and Lena's to catch up on what's happening at Whitefish Bay. Playing January 8th through February 2nd, Friday and Saturday night shows at 8:30, Sundays are the 24th and 31st at 3 p.m. RSVPs are suggested. Tickets are $14 for adults, $13 for students and seniors. Boy, it doesn't pay to get old or get an education there. $12 on Sunday for everybody. Group rates available. And buy one, get one free. If you tell them you heard about it here on After Hours. Join them on opening night on January 8th for a glass of champagne.
Ooh.
Production of Being in Fun of Parts by grants from Harris County and Texas Commission on the Arts through the Houston Arts Alliance. Hey, Jimmy, when are we having them on?
Probably the day that
he's off in another room.
He's out sucking a fag.
Probably. Let me look.
I'll have to look and see when we do it. He keeps track of the theater, Suburban. I keep track of the other theater.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm done with my shtick.
Okay. I got a few here.
Yeah, let's see your shtick.
Yeah. No. Save the date, January 14th, the Assisters Open House from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. over at the Montrose Counseling Center. If you've been wanting to learn more about Assisters or never really knew who to ask, here's your chance. It's an informal and relaxed atmosphere. No pressure to join. Gather information and meet new friends. So that. Then on Thursday, January 14th, the Houston GLBT Community Center will launch a new literary series with a reading by the Reverend Rick Elliott from his new inspirational book, Faith Journeys of the Heart. The 6 to 8:30 p.m. event will be held at the Houston Public Library's Freed Montrose Library, which is at 4100 Montrose, and will be open to the public at no charge. For more information on Reverend Elliott and his new book, you can visit www.rev, that's R-E-V, Rick Elliott, ELLIOTT.com. And if you want to know more about the GLBT Community Center, go to www.hglbtcc.org. Southern Country Houston has their dance team has a new name, and now they need a new logo. The new name is Wildfire. So enter the logo contest. There's a $50 cash prize that will be awarded for the winning logo. Submit your logo designs to our dance chair, Carol Martinez, at carolmdance@hotmail.com. No later than January 31st, 2010, in PDF or JPEG form. The winner will be announced by a community gathering at the end of February.
Just came up with an idea.
Yeah. There's a whole list of rules here. Deadline for entries is January 31st. Let's see. What else?
The major one is the buzz rule. No more than 3 entries allowed per person.
Okay. I didn't see that on here, so I'm glad you remembered. Here we go. The old saying is that time flies when you're having fun. Well, we must be having a lot of fun because Louis 37 starts in just 3 months. Let us entertain you. 2010 will be February 18th through the 21st. Last year's attendance topped 1,100 people from 33 states in the U.S. and 5 different countries.
Ooh. Well, we topped Jimmy. Oh.
Did Jimmy top all? Get all 1,100 of those?
He is the pin run master this year.
Will we break last year's attendance record? We don't know yet.
We are on path.
This is what the schedule looks like so far. Once again, we'll be at George's, your country sports bar, on Thursday, February 18th. As we kick off the weekend with the first night of registration, the first glimpse at all the hot men and women who have shown up to the party. Let's see. Friday night. Yeah, Friday registration continues at the home bar of the Houston Area Bears and the Women in Power Society, Tony's Corner Pocket. What an exciting time we had there this past, Louie. Then on Saturday,
also, on Friday night, you have an opportunity. You can meet some of the people here from After Hours.
Ah.
We will be out on Friday night at Tony's Corner Pocket.
I guess I better schedule that, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay. On Saturday, plan to be busy and well-fed all day long. The breakfast will be at the 611 Hyde Park. Lunch at the Ripcord. Okay.
Not just that. Chicken at the Ripcord.
There's a first.
No, it's every year we have. For most years, we have chicken at the Ripcord.
Yeah. And a great dinner over at the Brazos River Bottom. So we'll give you all the energy needed to party until the wee hours. And then Sunday's grand finale show of shows is always a huge treat for you as you head over to EJ's for the official, unofficial after party.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's a part missing in there. The show of shows is at Rich's Sunday afternoon starting at noon. And then following Rich's is the unofficial, official after Louis party, which is over at EJ's.
Wow. I'm just reading what was right here.
Who wrote that?
I have the one that held the Christmas party on Christmas Eve. The chairman of the Houston Council of
Chair
Clubs.
Chair Daddy.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'm getting better. I'm supposed to know this stuff because I'm vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, congratulations. I didn't know that.
This is my second year as vice chair.
Oh, so you can get special little...
No, but the twisted part is I'm the one who ordered the pins. So the Louis pins are going to be arriving in Tomball first.
Oh, wow.
Because I got to have them delivered to my work.
Now, will they be? Will a runner be running with them down the...
down 45?
Yeah.
I was thinking that we could have a little...
That would be cute.
Pin relay.
Yeah, that would
be. Yeah, but see, then when you do the first handoff of the pin, you know it's going to take, a good 15 minutes. Then you unscrew it from your leg, then you screw it back into the other guy, do the official Texas pinning, and then he runs, another mile down.
What is he screwing?
That's a good idea.
Or do a Texas pinning relay
once
the Louis pins come into town.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Let me finish this one up. before we get too far off track here.
Too late.
Yeah, I know. With today's tough economy, Louis remains the best value for a great party vacation. Those who live in Harris County or any of the immediate surrounding counties still only pay $15 for the entire weekend. Our fondness continues to run very deep for those of you who don't live near our great city. As has been the case for all these years, we invite you to be our guest at absolutely no charge.
Wow. If your zip code does not start with 77, it's free. If you have a 77, it's $15. Let me put it to you this way, ladies and gentlemen. If all you do is have lunch and dinner with us on Saturday, mm-hmm. you've made your $15 back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you do nothing else but show up and have lunch and dinner, you've got your $15 back.
True.
If you partake in our receptions, you will definitely make your $15 back.
Oh, yeah.
You are getting a lot more for that. You get a pin. We also will have T-shirts available for sale. You can pre-register your, you can pre-order your T-shirts, which we highly recommend you to do.
There's a whole...
How do you do that?
Well, if you'll give me a minute, I'll put all that in on the airwaves.
Well, I had to correct a couple of times.
Well, stick it in.
Hey, I'm just reading what's on the paper, dude.
Stick it in!
So, to find out some great places to stay while in Houston, to date, there are 5 hotels that have offered special rates for Louis attendees.
Well, more.
Well,
can I finish reading the damn piece of paper, or do I hand it off to you two?
There are 5 hotels that are giving special rates.
Yes.
One of them just isn't as special as we would have liked.
Yeah.
But at any rate, for great accommodations, great advertising rates in the program guide, and to find out a little bit more, you can and to register online, go to www.louieweekend.com.
L-U-E-Y.
Yes.
Weekend.
Let us entertain you.
Yes.
Which I read at the beginning.
Hey, is the Holiday Inn going to be one of those hotels? I don't know.
I don't know. It wasn't listed on there.
I don't believe
it wasn't?
So.
No.
Okay. I know. Well.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to get on this.
I don't know.
Trust me. Buzz worked as many of the hotels as he could, and we got 5 of them that because the thing is...
Can I quote you on that? Buzz worked the hotels?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the... Because unlike other events where you have a host hotel, mm-hmm. we don't have a host hotel because we had to find hotels that were going to give rates but aren't holding us to selling a certain number of rooms.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah.
Basically, these hotels are saying, you know, we'll set aside 10, 15 rooms. If you sell them, great. If you don't sell them,
mm-hmm.
then we're not going to penalize you for it. That's the agreement we have with these hotels.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So these are not host hotels. These are ones that are extending something as a benefit to... people who are attending Louis weekend, but it's not like it's something that.
Well, it's because we don't. Louis doesn't hold anything at the hotel, so it's,
yeah,
you know,
and that's part of it. You have the other things in that,
yeah,
and
because they could.
Well, there's also some changes we've undergone here lately that you know, before we were more of a loose knit organization,
mm-hmm. now we're tight.
Well, we are now. The Houston Council of Clubs Incorporated.
I forgot about that. That's right.
We are now our own entity.
Yeah.
And so we have to make sure we follow.
Yeah.
With what we have to, because now there is more mm-hmm. liability.
Yes, there is.
In place with
now
this
you're a corporation. And
yes.
By having that, so mm-hmm. we're
Well, the board is liable.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I would
insurance.
So we're, you know, we have to look at these sorts of things, and that's one thing we try to make sure is that it's not host hotels. It's just,
yeah,
these are hotels that are offering special rates to us, and we do ask if you please, you know, register. You can get your T-shirts on that louisweekend.com.
Okay.
Pre-register, even if you don't think you're going to make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, take care of that, because if not, we have to enter in all those names during Louis weekend, and that takes away from our time.
Yeah.
Enjoying the event, especially for Robert.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, are the Bears going to be doing the registration?
They'll be doing it at some point in time.
Yeah, okay. Because I always like to volunteer. So if you need some help, you know where to find.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you spoke with the secretary this week.
Okay.
Past week.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Do you
okay.
have more?
Okay. I got one more.
Okay.
If I can get it in here.
Oh, please get it in.
Yes. So everybody, break out your calendars. Okay. Turn to 2010.
Okay, my calendar is broken.
Go out to March. and plug in on March 15th because GCAM is going to revisit Disney.
Oh, they're doing another Disney show.
Yeah. I guess more info is going to follow on that.
Could you say about any less enthusiasm?
All right. Keep that calendar out. Flip to the next month. All right, you two. Stop it.
To be enthusiastic.
Oh, you did? Coming in April is Couchside Story featuring Judy.
And then what?
Like I said, flip the calendar over to April.
April? What's going on?
Go to April the 11th, which is 4 days before tax day.
Okay.
And GCAM's going to have their annual Tant Revival.
Oh, the revival!
That's fun.
Bringing that back.
So, that's fun.
Yeah. So, more information on all this will follow. So go ahead and put those in there, and Miss Judy and Mr. Jimmy will have all that information for
that's
us.
That's right.
And can I say, Poo Poo, if you're listening, March the 15th, don't forget.
Ooh. Okay.
Right.
Well, no, because my partner is a Walt Disney fanatic.
Oh, I know.
No.
March 14th.
See, I'm not the calendar person. He is.
Please, if you could get the ears implanted, he would.
Yes, he would.
Stop.
That was true.
Right. Okay, we've got Falcon in the wings waiting.
Yep.
Oh, so. God, that was horrible.
What?
Falcon wings.
Oh, that is that. No. I'm sorry. I did not mean that.
That's it. Music.
Yeah, please.
Oh, switch.
what was that?
Well, we did a little D.C. Anderson, Silent Night.
Oh, and we've had him live here in the studio.
Yes, we have.
We have.
A few times.
In fact, we didn't talk about the music we played at the beginning of the show either.
No, we didn't.
Why should it now be any different than any other time?
I know, right? We'll hold on to traditions.
An hour and a half later.
Yeah, I know, right? Started off the show with Melissa Etheridge doing O Night Divine.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And then the Rochers doing Winter Wonderland.
Roches. The Three Sisters, and they do a cappella stuff, and it's really great.
That was actually kind of nice. I liked it.
Did you watch that a cappella show on NBC?
No, I did
not. Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
Was it Fabulous?
The Sing-Off?
Mm-hmm.
The Sing-Off?
Yeah, the final...
The singing...
The final episode of it, you know, you're looking at some of these guys going, gay, not gay.
Mm.
They had... The two final groups were there, and one was this group out of Boston, I think it was, the Beelzebubs.
Mm-hmm.
Beelzebubs?
And, yeah, Beelzebubs.
Satan?
They were
Okay.
They were pretty good singers and all that, because they were one of the two finalists. And they were very campy and theatric with it. Mm. And they were showing some behind the scenes with them here, and the one guy was getting all mic'd up.
Yeah.
And the host of the show is Nick Lachey, Jessica Simpson's ex.
Okay.
And so they, one part of this behind the scenes thing, it was a guy was getting all mic'd up, and they said, "Did you see Nick today? He looks so hot."
Oh my God, you're kidding me.
They played that on national television.
Woo!
And then
girlfriend.
That was right at the end of that stuff, and then they cut to showing the group, and he's sitting there holding, embarrassed, trying to hide in the back of the group.
Oh, wow.
Little bit.
Then they cut to Nick,
who
goes, "Well, I've always thought you were kind of nice, too."
Well,
how about that?
No wonder he's the next.
It was queer music night then, because then after that they followed up with Jay Leno had Adam Lambert on.
Oh, my God. It was queer music.
I like his one song that he did. Not the one that he got all the play for.
That's Entertainment?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, it was really good.
His other song.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't... I mean, I kind of like his songs of what I heard there. It was funny when Jay was interviewing him, he goes, "Well, there's a little bit of controversy in that." He goes, "I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't heard anything about that." and then he was addressing the heads. There was two rumors that had been going around that one, he was going to start his own makeup line.
Yeah.
And he said, "No, I haven't thought of that yet." And another one was that there was rumors going around that his father wasn't speaking to him because of the performance.
What?
And he says, "I've been talking to my dad about it. We've been laughing about it. Everyone's getting all their
panties in a bunch."
Yeah.
I like that.
But it was a queer music night on NBC.
Ah.
There we go.
We have with us in the studio Falcon Fur,
yay,
who is candidate number 3 for Emperor 26 of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc.
Houston, Galveston, United States, North America, Western Hemisphere, Planet Earth, Milky Way Galaxy, Universe.
You forgot one thing, though.
What?
Texas. You said Houston, Galveston, United States.
Well, they're bigger than that.
Yeah. We don't have to say Texas when we say Houston. People should know.
Thank you.
God, he even brought one of his pens. You bring pens for everybody?
Yeah, they're out there at the table in the lobby.
You have you have pens with your name on them?
Yes.
Oh, how cool is that?
You would have known that if you would have shown up on Wednesday.
Tell
us.
What happened Wednesday?
I was at Bering because I had gone the week before, and I had promised that I'd come back because I was supposed to bring stuff and do stuff. And
you just pay your tithe at the time. You wouldn't have to go back.
Oh, well, I know. Wednesday night, Bering has dinner for HIV positive people.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a big deal. And
Have you been to the Paz Social 30, on 40. Tuesday nights?
I have a couple of times. I need to go more often and meet those guys because they're really a cool bunch.
Yeah, they're lots of fun.
Very, very nice guys.
I think it's like every other second and fourth Tuesday of the month over at In-N-Out.
In-N-Out, yeah. I'm on the website. I mean, they have the website and they have the Yahoo group.
Right.
I'm on the Yahoo group.
You got to tell them I don't like their logo.
What?
Ooh, In-N-Out? Oh, the little cross?
Yeah, that's the
That menu. Looks a little...
Spiritual?
No.
Oh. Satanic?
No.
Worse. Worse? What's worse than that? Well, first of all,
No, it's not.
The way that kind of...
It's a
It reminds me too much of something else, of their symbol.
I think it's a spin on the Red Cross.
I know, but it just the way those parts are angled on there, that just doesn't. My opinion. I'm a graphic designer. I can't help it.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Okay.
We'll go with that, Chris.
So why do you want to be emperor?
Why? Good question.
I know. I mean, my
good question.
My God. I mean, your life is not your own for an entire year.
2 years.
Mm. Well, especially the first year. I mean,
especially
you can't do
year.
Anything. You can't go out of town unless it's for a coronation. I mean, your life is not your own. So why in the world would you want to do this?
Well, I'm kind of, a lot of people say they're doing it for the community, and, you know, I'm doing it for the community, of course, but I'm going to kind of give you a reason why. You know, we're in, it was just announced, we're in the third largest city now. I'm sure the 2010 census is going to officially, the 2010 should officially make it official, but they do have the demographics now that says that we are the third largest city.
Wow.
So, third largest city, lesbian mayor. I think we're really poised here in the city to do a lot of good nationally, of course locally, but then nationally.
We should be doing more nationally as big as we are.
Exactly. And what we have as an advantage here is we have the Houston Council Clubs. We just talked about everything going on with Louis Weekend.
Sure.
All these clubs come together, and no matter what type of a person you are, they come together and they put on a party. Drag, leather, lesbian, gay, fat, skinny, you name it, they all come together.
And we are unique in that.
Exactly. And what is also kind of disappointing about our city is that an organization like Arisa's is not penetrating enough throughout the city. And I would like to get our members to penetrate. Stop giving me that look. Man, you say the word penetration, all the eyebrows go raise up.
Because we all love a good penetration.
Yes, I'm sure.
Especially
you do.
Jimmy.
Well, the reason why I say this is because I look at Arisa's. It's one of those few organizations out there that does have leather, drag.
Yes.
Young, old, skinny, bears, everything.
You're right.
It's got a mixture of everything in there. And it could really, this year I could really, hopefully, with the help of the organization, set a foundation to where we can penetrate more. We can get into the community more, talk to organizations that we don't normally talk to, educate people more about what's going on as far as services, other charities out there, and even other social groups. I get people, you know, I'm on Bear 411. I get people calling me all the time or texting me all the time saying, hey, I just moved to the city. What's a good leather group for me? And then I have to quiz them. What are you into? And all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I match them up. And same thing with bears. You know, where do the bears meet? And Arisa's has a little bit of everything in it that they could really be one of those premier organizations that gets out there and
you know,
touches everybody.
And that would probably help draw in more outside people to your shows.
Exactly.
So you're not... It doesn't end up...
You're not fishing out of the same barrel every
exactly.
week.
Exactly. You know, your own members are not being the only contributors.
Exactly. That's a big issue that we have. And what you see nowadays is a lot of... people want to... They want to donate, but they want to try to get something out of it. You know, car washes, bake sales.
Sure.
You know, they don't want to just give the buck. And
well, I have to agree with that. You know, if somebody's doing a raffle, a 50-50 raffle, I think, but, you know, if it's a raffle that there's
you
a couple
get
of
prizes.
Yeah, you know, I'll go for it.
Well,
or things like bake sales and car washes and things. I love those type
right.
of things.
I think we kind of overdone the bake sales and stuff like that.
Not
and
for me.
There's... You know our bake sales. That's
yeah,
why.
Exactly.
You're waiting for Sherry to bake for you again.
Oh, honey. You know, between the Big Men's Club and Arisa's, I mean, that we're talking good food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I don't think any of us are very skinny in our group. We got a couple of
well, except that around. Damn Dee Dee. She's always skinny.
Well, Dee Dee, Marsha, and Natasha.
Yeah, Marsha and Natasha, yeah.
But, No, I think that we can really set it. You know,
I say that damn DD, but she's a sweetheart.
I can't say that right now.
Oh!
She's my boss for the next month or so, 21
days.
That's
right, that's right.
So she's candidate coordinator, so she gets to, you know, crack the whip on me.
So to speak.
So to speak.
No,
yeah,
know.
Yeah. She
has a real one.
I know where you're going with this, and I think this is an excellent outlook. I mean, way to look at it.
Well, you know, it's not something that I can accomplish in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you want to plant the seed and get the train of thought going.
Mm-hmm.
Try different types of fundraising. We are kind of stagnant with doing our shows all the time, and people are coming out and seeing the same thing and same performers. And I say it often, as far as myself personally, I kind of feel like I'm a filler for the drag queen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys get up there, we're lip syncing, we're not even singing live. Why do you want to tip us? So you really got to pull the heartstrings sometimes and explain why we're doing this fundraisers.
Sure.
But there's other ways of doing fundraising that has nothing to do with drag and nothing to do with shows.
Yeah, and some people are still, you know, don't want to go to bars. And if you have something outside of a bar, then they'll probably attend.
I've got about 15 ideas on paper right now.
Really?
Yes. On paper right now that I'm, you know, if elected, this will be put on the counter and go look at the membership and say, look at it and see if there's anything that piques your interest and see if you want to do anything. Of course, we still have our shows. Uh-huh. And one of the things that I'm looking to hopefully do a little bit differently, along with hopefully Sherry will get elected too. And together we're hoping to have more production meetings.
Yeah.
Get more involved in the court. Get more communication going on, more emails, just amongst our membership.
Yeah.
Get that communication going on. You know, you do a show and you don't do any follow-up to that show. What was good about the show, what was bad about the show, and how can you make it better in the future?
Yeah.
Nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's something you got to have follow-up. You got to, you know, you got to manage it.
Yeah.
You know, it is a business.
Yeah.
So you really do have to manage it. And if you're not, if you're just letting people run and with no guidance. And we get new members all the time, and they kind of fall out of the system because they don't understand.
Yeah.
They know we're a charity, but they don't understand the whole court side of it and how we play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, you know.
And what is that game? Can you explain that to us a little bit?
Well, what we do is we play royal court, which is basically we have a monarchy. Where we have an emperor and empress, and then they...
And these are the co-presidents.
They're the co-presidents for the year. And what they do is they name their line. So we have Imperial Prince Royales and Prince and Princesses and right on down the line to Dukes. But it's a camp thing. It's totally for fun. You know, it's a theme that we do. You know, we could have easily just gotten together as a charity, and there's plenty of them out there where you just get together and you raise money.
Yeah.
And there's no theme behind it. You don't have anything kind of different and exciting to look forward to.
But this is a court system. You get to wear fancy clothes and blingy jewelry. And
exactly. And there's 72 other courts out there in North America,
in
between Canada, United States, and Mexico. So, and we have our imperial, we have our queen mother of the Americas, Nicole the Great.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she oversees, you know, through the ICS, the whole court system.
Yes.
But each court is their own sovereignty, which means that ERESIS raises money for Houston.
Yeah.
It's just for our area. The money goes back to our area. We don't send it anywhere else. So every dollar that we raise goes back 100% to our charities, and we totally keep it within our community.
Okay.
We have never not given 100%. We put on balls. We put on shows. When I put on a show, it's not like the court pays for any of that. You know, if I put up decorations, if I buy food, if I buy prizes, it's out of my pocket.
So I know there's operating costs for any organization. So
we don't really have that high of operating costs.
Really?
No. You know, of course,
you know, there are crowns or pins or this, there's that.
There is, but we do have a board fund
that
is separate. you know, that we put on separate shows for the board.
Oh, I see. So most of your shows are for your charities, but there are special shows.
Yes, there's a board
show. Like shows. For operating expenses.
Yes.
Okay.
But we do have a board shows, but basically, no, we, you know, we've always, like, if we raise $30,000, after we do our coronation, usually we make our $30,000 easily and plus money.
So when we announce that Narisa's show and it's, you know, the proceeds are going to wherever it's going, then 100% of that show's money goes there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. That's really cool.
We haven't had, especially if it's a direct benefit, the check is cut right there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, there's always a level of operating expenses, but I don't believe that I see very much coming out of the charity side of it. So,
okay.
You know, I do believe you have some expense put aside, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I don't get into the whole treasurer side of it that much, but... You okay over there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, we do our shows. We
And you've been doing a lot of shows here lately.
I've been doing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Sherry's been doing a lot of shows.
Yes.
But it's just...
And I missed her. I missed her show tonight.
Oh, no, her show's tomorrow night.
Sunday night?
It's Sunday night.
Is it?
Yes. So you can announce it.
Oh, okay. I didn't miss it.
No.
It's great. So he's
part two.
Yeah, it's a wish is a dream. Oh, gosh.
We announced it earlier.
You did announce it.
No, we didn't announce it tonight.
We didn't?
Not tonight. You didn't hand it out.
Okay.
Oh, you'll give us events that have already happened, but then you throw away ones that don't happen yet.
Oh, thank you.
It is tomorrow night at the BRB at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And it's called A Wish is a
Dream. A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes.
Yes, part two.
Because... we had the snow.
We had the snow day.
Which you had to cancel the original one.
Right. And I actually took the 27th and then I turned around and gave it to her.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, she's, it should be a good show too. It's a song that you've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's female line, male line. You could just, you don't have to do drag, you just go out there and do the song.
That's nice.
So,
that's nice.
Especially
for on a Sunday night.
On a Sunday night, yeah. Should be a good show, though. I mean, I know it's a holiday weekend, and people are spending time with their families, and people are traveling, but hopefully we'll get a good crowd there.
Good.
You know, we've been doing shows for the past couple of weeks, and, yeah, our shows have been kind of up and down with people traveling.
Well, with the holidays,
yeah,
because I've noticed there are less events going on at this time of year because people are having holiday parties, and they have family.
And, unfortunately, it's right in the middle of our campaign season.
Yeah, I know,
so.
I know. And voting is just coming up right around the corner, isn't it?
Gary, huh?
Yeah.
I'm nervous about it.
Now, that's January the 4th?
January the 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. at George. And then
and
January
And George
the
is located at?
615
or 617?
617 Fairview.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday from 1 to 6 p.m. at Legacy Community Health Services at 215 Westheimer.
That would be January the 9th?
January the 9th, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Then I have a show on January the 2nd at
yes.
Chances.
We did mention that.
Yes.
You did?
Okay.
Okay.
But say it again.
We did two of your.
It's because we did that an hour ago.
Wait a minute. Well, we announced on the 27th was his event.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the New Year's resolution show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's canceled.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to be fired.
Okay, guys, let's get the dates out from the beginning.
Chris, you're senior to me, so do the due diligence.
Let's start this from the beginning. Starting tomorrow.
If we fired him for an incompetence moment,
hey, stop.
Incompetence or incontinent?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay, my show tomorrow, New Year's resolution toast or whatever it was called, is canceled.
Okay.
I gave it to Sherry because I was supposed to have surgery this week, which did not happen.
Oh, okay.
Thank God. But Sherry.
Yeah, because you're standing. You're not standing.
I was going to say, I'm not standing. I actually get to sit for a while.
Yeah.
But I was supposed to have surgery on Wednesday. It did not happen. So, but in the meantime, I wasn't sure if I was going to be healthier enough to do the show, so I gave it to Sherry.
Oh, okay.
So that's where she put in her makeup show.
Okay, got
so it.
So
it is Sherry's show. Dream is a wish the heart makes.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the BRB.
Right.
Then on
Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah. Today's Sunday now. January 2nd at Chances.
Now, we did.
We did that one.
Yeah. But do it again.
Do it again. Saturday night, January 2nd. At Chances at 11 p.m. is a New Year's toast to the ladies of Assisters.
11 p.m. They do shows late over there. Don't they?
That's when the crowd shows up.
Oh, well. Yeah, I can see why you wait.
Yeah, they have a late crowd.
It sucks doing a show at 9 o'clock and nobody's there.
I know.
Yeah.
And then January
4th. Tell me about it.
And then we'll get into voting one more time. January 4th, 6 to 9 p.m. Uh-huh. At George Bar.
Yes.
617 Fairview, and then once again January 9th at Legacy Community Health Services, 215 Westheimer, from 1 to 6 p.m.
That's it.
Bump, bump.
What and did we not cover? Jim?
I don't. Any gossip?
Any gossip?
I haven't seen you since then, because you were at the same party that we were
yes,
at. Yes.
But you didn't get a chance to corner him and get the gossip.
I know. Yeah.
What gossip do you want?
You know what? You know me.
Well, just for a vote.
Well, you only got 5 minutes.
And the voting is it's because you are running unopposed and Sherry is running unopposed. It's a yes-no vote.
Correct.
So
we're both on yes no's.
Yeah.
Please vote yes.
Yeah.
And and it's open to anybody with a 77 zip code. So
right.
If your driver's license starts with 77, come on out.
Yeah. No, zip code starts with 77.
That's what I said.
You said driver's license.
Well, if your driver's license has a 77 zip code.
Oh. Or if you live in Houston.
Is he still incontinent?
If you live in Houston.
Or surrounding areas. You could be in Beaumont.
Harris County or any county that touches Harris County.
No, because actually Beaumont is not in Harris or in a county that touches.
Really?
And but they do have a 77, so is College Station.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh.
There's a lot of areas.
Oh, you're drawing from a much larger pot, aren't you?
Well, you know, if they're in town.
Yeah,
you know, they might be here for New Year's and spend a few extra days. They can vote.
All you have to do is show a driver's license. Or
exactly. We don't take any information other than your name.
Right.
You know, don't have to worry about your privacy. We don't take any driver's license numbers or anything.
Don't have to worry about your privates.
No.
Unless you want to show them.
Jim,
so I got to get back to the gossip here now.
Oh, yeah,
now,
gossip.
Jim, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, you only got 3 minutes for gossip.
Okay.
Spill it. I don't care.
Well, which one?
Anyone.
So once again, you know, Falcon's platform is lots of penetration and planting the seed for later.
Yes.
And he knows.
I got to get that on a T-shirt.
I've heard that he knows. I've heard he knows how to plant a seed.
Hey. You good?
It's coming from the pin master, Louie.
Thank you.
There we go.
Louie? God, we're talking Misfits Ball. We're talking
yes.
about CCC. We're
PWA.
Wow.
Yeah, you name it. He's there.
Speaking of Misfits Ball, my mother loved the present I got for her, the Misfits Ball.
What did you?
I got her a Christmas present at Misfits Ball.
What? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay, you got 2 minutes still.
Just think of the things that were at the auction table at the Misfits Ball.
I was upstairs. I didn't see the auction table.
Well, I was, too, but I got a chance to see it.
That's why he knows what you were doing at the Misfits Ball.
Thank you.
He ran the table, put down his bids, and then I had to come up and tap him on the shoulder and go, Jimmy, it's time to come down and pay. And that's what you did. You wiped your mouth.
I did. And I came upstairs, and I had 6 people come up to me and say, oh, I saw you upstairs.
I hate that.
Just 6?
Yeah. And I was just like,
just
no.
6?
Well, that's all who came up and told me that.
I mean, like when you got this thing and everyone knows who you
well,
are.
I was going to say, at one point, wasn't your butt pressed up against the window?
Well, what's bad is if he's in position doing that and somebody walks up behind him and all they see is the back of his head and says, hi, Jamie, how you doing?
I know.
Well, like I said, I walked up the one time, and Jimmy was coming towards me. I just waved my finger at him. He's like, what? I just waved my finger at him. And he goes, I wasn't doing anything. I go, this was not my first time up here. His head went down so fast. But unlike before, it didn't come back up.
Oh. See?
But no, I got towards the end when they were doing the silent auction,
mm-hmm.
and there was two gift baskets there that were left. And one was the candles and the bath oils mm-hmm. and sponges and all the other stuff. And the other one was the sex pack from Hollywood.
Yeah.
Either one of them would work for my mother.
Yeah, I know.
But I went for the safer one and got the
sex pack.
Yeah. Actually, I told her I had the choice I had was either a sex pack or the baths kit, and I got her the bath kit instead.
Oh, well.
Open mind.
Oh, well.
Are you kidding?
My mother came out one time. My brothers and I were going to Bazaar, and my mother goes, while you're there, if you see an egg vibrator, pick one up for me, and I'll pay you back for it later.
Okay, for her.
Good for her.
And she went out, and she brought us and said, this is what it looks like.
Good for her. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mom.
Okay, all right, on that note.
Does she use elbow grease to make eggs?
No, but we're stealing a commercial from Channel 8, I think, for a Louis commercial.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lordy.
Have y'all seen, you probably don't, you haven't seen it, because if you watch This Old House,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of This Old House, they're sponsored by GMC.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them, they got these guys out there, they're trying to use a big crowbar lever to lift this boulder.
Yeah.
This one guy goes, man, we could really use some elbow grease. Then you hear this, beep, 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 and it's a GMC fan backing up with the back doors open with 55-gallon drums that say elbow grease on it.
Oh, my God.
And these are, you know, this is apparently...
Night at the Ripcord.
Exactly.
This was an advertising company that apparently the same people who came up with the idea of calling tax revolts teabagging.
Yes.
But, you know, it's one of the things. We want to steal that. And that could be a Louis commercial, and it's a real commercial.
Well, we've had fun, but we have to go now.
Hey!
Yes.
Yay! Get me out of here.
No, and only because, you know, we had Sherry on, and we have to... have equal time for both of you.
She'll come back.
Oh, I know she will. And as a matter of fact, like I told her, the second Saturday of the month is reserved for Arisa's.
And you'll see us.
To come on and do 15 minutes and, you know, just give us an update on what's going on with the organization. And we would love to have you or any members of your court.
Yeah, you know, that kind of fell to the wayside this year, but
sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You know, it varies from year to year of how well it's utilized, and I always say... Well,
but you know, when you're trying to educate the community, this is a perfect example of how you can do it.
Sure.
So get on the radio and talk about your causes.
Because we talk about your organization, but it's not the same as a member right. talking mm-hmm. about it. It's right. never the same.
Because you get to sexually harass the members then.
Yeah.
When you get
in here.
Yeah. Eat your cookie, Chris.
Yeah.
And then we get to see how well they're doing their penetration.
I mean, poppycock with nuts.
Well, I'll definitely, if I get elected in, I'll definitely be back to tell you how the penetration and seating is going.
Well, I certainly want to know all about it in great detail.
Okay,
great. I bet you do. On that note.
Thank you, Falcon, and good luck with the election.
Ba-bum-bum.
Keeping their sheep
on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
For rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2. Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can, please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello. This is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites MySpace and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. On Facebook, for example, you can connect to KPFT as a friend, join our fan page, and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley to Facebook users. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. On MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio 90.1 KPFT Houston.
And please remember, if you're a victim of housing discrimination because you're gay, suck it up because it's not illegal. I could remember to send to management that, you know, be nice if we played PSAs that were appropriate for us.
I know, right?
Yeah. If you're thrown out of your apartment because you're gay, too bad. That's the law. They can do that.
Mm.
You can also find us on Facebook, After Hours. If you can't find us through After Hours, go to KPFT. We're a friend of theirs, aren't we?
Yeah, we're a friend of KPFT. We're also a friend. We're also fans with Fair Voices.
So, find us out on there. We've got plenty of people already on our friends list.
And who are we?
We are After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude and listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Woo! You actually did it in one breath that time.
And no hydrochloric acid.
I know, right?
I filled up on the poppycock.
Where's Jimmy at?
I don't know. But, you know, when you're having trouble breathing and you're coughing already, you know, I think one of the last things you should be eating is popcorn.
Yeah.
Especially popcorn with caramel.
Yeah, because it gets caught in your chest and everything.
Yeah, then I'm sitting here looking at this going, that's...
Popcorn does not belong in your bronchial tubes.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Just saying.
Well, the part I love is I look here, okay, let's see, calories per serving and how many servings are in this bag. I'm a diabetic, right?
Well, you're supposed to be.
Well, I'm on some good medicine now that seems to be helping me.
That's still no excuse.
Then my numbers are getting lower. I was just looking at this bag of poppycock that I'm eating.
Yes.
Going, you know, if I eat the whole bag, that's 8 servings at 150 calories per serving, I'll be dead.
Oh, that's nice.
But, you know, I've been saying that these new medicines I've been on, my numbers have been getting lower.
Ah, good.
They're not as scary. I'll wake up and, you know, it's in the hundreds.
Mm. Rather than
the 400s.
Mm.
Woo.
Yeah.
I guess
that'll hurt.
I checked my blood sugar one time and it said hi.
And it wasn't greeting you.
No. Could have been worse. It could have said 911.
I know, right?
But I have a feeling I need to double check there. I think there's a side effect to this meds that I'm not enjoying. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the blood pressure medicine causing that problem. I stopped taking the blood pressure medicine. I'm still having that problem.
Oh.
Anyhow.
I don't know about any of that.
Well,
because you get Viagra. I'm sorry, Cialis.
Levitra.
Levitra.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Because I'm HIV positive, and and the medication that I take enhances Levitra, so I only have to take a quarter of a pill for it to be effective. So it's
And it works for me, so it's very cost-effective that way.
Oh, wow.
So instead of $10 a boner, it's only $2.50?
There you go.
Hey, hey. And I'm supposedly the thrift store queen of the show?
I know, right?
Surprise! I am a thrifty shopper. No, let's...
Anyhow, moving on.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be talking about something serious here, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, actually.
We're about to.
Actually, we are. And, I mean...
And you're going to preface it all.
I sure am. And I kind of wish that the person that I'm going to be referencing here, and I'm not going to say his name because he's not here with us.
Okay.
And hasn't been properly introduced to the show. I wish he was here with us, but he actually... had something good happen tonight, and I wish him luck with what's going on tonight, and hopefully it'll continue on for him.
Okay. What happened to him?
Well, I'm trying to think. I think it was on Monday, mm-hmm. because I didn't start finding out about this until like Tuesday. Yeah, I found out, the first time I found out about it was on Tuesday.
Okay. This guy you know.
It's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
My brother and his partner met him first.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of met him through them.
Uh-huh.
Really nice guy. Probably, I think he's like 26, 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Just found out on Monday some news that kind of devastated his life.
Which is?
He has joined the HIV positive community.
Oh. Ouch.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I can talk to him.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring him with me tonight, but again, and we'll get into this a little bit further on here in our discussion,
mm-hmm.
But he was unable to make it tonight because I wanted him to meet both you and Merlin, mm-hmm. who's sitting with us right now.
Ta-da! Hello. I'm here.
Because right now, because it's so fresh in his life and fresh in his mind and everything, he is doing what... most people that I have talked to in my life, and I've known a lot of people with HIV,
mm-hmm.
And I've asked pretty much all of them. I didn't ask you to, because it just didn't cross my mind at the time. And I want to ask you both tonight how they reacted when they first found out that they were HIV positive.
Oh my God, I was a basket case.
Now hold on. Before you start on it, preface it when?
1987.
Okay.
Yeah.
January 1987, I went in to get tested. And I had to wait a couple of weeks for the results, because that was the old type of testing. Went back for the results, went into a room with an older woman, older than me, believe it or not. And she gave me the results that I was positive. And you think about it all the time, especially from the time you get tested to the time you find out, and you think, oh, I probably am, blah, 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 blah. But when you hear the words, you're HIV positive, I was just frozen to the spot. And the woman looked at me and said, and this was at... Montrose Clinic, mm-hmm. at the time. She looked at me and she said, well, isn't that what you expected? And I really wanted to slap her.
Mm-hmm.
But I was frozen to the spot because I was so devastated. And she said, well, you'll probably need to go outside and sit for a while before you drive home. And...
Jeez.
Now, once again...
She was right.
Yeah.
I could not drive. I spent an hour on the outside steps of the Montrose Clinic before I could drive home.
And once again, that's why I stopped you to begin to preface this. We're talking about January 1987.
When getting an HIV positive diagnosis was a death sentence, and that you would probably be dead in 12 to 18 months.
See, I'm surprised you didn't say that she mentioned that line to you.
I already knew that.
Yeah.
Already knew that. Because everybody who ever got the news, that was your lifespan.
Yeah.
12 to 18 months. Well, that was 1987, and I'm still here. Surprise.
Yeah.
I just outlasted everybody, and then...
Including that old bitch that told you.
And then...
She walked in thinking, I'm going to live longer than you.
Yeah.
You should be dancing on her gravesite.
Yeah. Probably.
And then 1996 came around. I was still here, and protease inhibitors came around, and I'm still here.
Yeah.
However, it was devastating. It took an entire year for me to be able to go through all of the, you know, the anger, the hurt, the
seven
acceptance.
Stages of
the seven stages. It took 1 year. It was a horrible year. I don't think people have to go through that much anymore because it's not such a death sentence, but it is not an easy life.
Yeah. And
I'm sure you have a similar experience. Yeah.
Well, before you go on, the easy life comment, I have to agree with you. And not being HIV positive myself, but knowing so many people in my life that are living with it,
mm-hmm.
and seeing the people that have lived with it for as long as you have, maybe a little bit longer, and seeing how it affects different people. I mean, I've seen some people that you would never think that they were HIV positive, but they look like a perfectly healthy person.
Yes, yes.
And then I've seen the exact flip side of that mm-hmm. coin
mm-hmm.
where I had a friend that was in and out of the hospital every other month. And it was hard to watch him sometimes.
Well, every close friend that I had in 1987, and that's, you know, about 20, 25 different close gay male friends, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Everyone. I'm the last one. It's the luck of the draw. It's mm-hmm. A big deal is having a positive outlook toward life. That's extremely important.
Yeah.
Reducing stress from your life is extremely important.
That's why you only see Stanley every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Laugh it up.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm here for. I'm the devil's advocate one moment, and then I'm the
clown the next.
I know.
Yeah.
And getting that diagnosis in 1987, when I look back on my life and what I my sexual experience, I cannot see where I contracted disease after 1983, because that's about the time that I started practicing safe sex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the disease started in 81.
Yeah.
It was announced in 1981, and it took that long for a lot of us to really believe that it was sexually transmitted.
Yeah.
You know, because in 1981 through 1983, we didn't know a lot about the disease.
Exactly.
So I've had it at least since 1983, probably before.
Yeah.
Merlin's so, had a similar experience.
Yeah. So how did you react when you first found out?
Well,
And when was it?
I found out. It was a very interesting day, actually. I was volunteering for Names Project at the display of the quilt at the George R. Brown.
Yes.
It was a huge display. I mean, and...
Yes.
And...
That's been a while.
Like 15 years ago, give or take. And I remember it vividly. I'd gotten my... I was there doing my floor walking, watching things, and I was like, gotta go. And went over to what was then still Montrose Clinic, now mm-hmm. it's Legacy. And my now ex, went with me. And I walked in, and this man, who oddly enough was who I found out later was a friend of one of the people I knew at the exhibit.
Yeah.
One of the volunteers at the exhibit. But that's neither here nor there to this part of the story. He looked at me and he said, okay, it's come back positive.
Mm.
I reacted more calmly than my ex did.
Oh.
My ex went charging out the door when I came out to tell him that it came back positive and kept saying, it's all my fault, it's all my fault.
Oh.
He kept saying it was his fault or your fault.
He kept saying it's all his fault.
He was blaming himself.
He was HIV positive?
Yes.
Okay.
He had full blown AIDS when we met.
Oh.
And one night he decided not to take no for an answer.
Oh. Gotcha.
Which is not a part of the story I talk about often. But yeah. So, at that particular moment, I reacted rather calmly about the whole thing. I went back to doing what I needed to do at the quilt.
Yeah.
I told people, the various volunteers and stuff that I knew, and in my head, it seemed logical to me that, here I was. I was born with a disability. I was born with something that was supposed to have killed me. And here I was, doing my thing. In my head, initially, it was, okay, this is just another thing to deal with. Move on. And I went through the rest of working at the quilt and all this, and then I went into manic phase. By craft, I make jewelry and walking sticks and things like that. It usually takes me weeks to finish just one walking stick. I think I finished 10 in the next month.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just working constantly, just manically doing and going a little over the edge. And that was my way of suddenly, my brain dealing with this. Like, in my head, all of a sudden it was, I have to leave something for when I'm gone. I have to leave something that people will remember who I was. That's what was going through my head, was somebody's got to remember I was here. And just as quick and crazy as that came on me, one day I looked in the mirror and I'm like, I'm still alive right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chill out. I'm still here. So it was literally a moment of looking in the mirror and saying, I'm still here. What am I doing to myself here? Why am I panicking about this? I mean, I vividly remember going, I'd already had a doctor by mm-hmm. then, and I even vividly remember asking her, looking her in the face and saying, am I going to die? And she said, yes.
Oh, boy.
She said, yes. Of course, looking back on it now, it's a thing of, well, we're all going to die. If you're born, we're all going to die.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Some
sooner or another.
Like on a commercial, there's no expiration date on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I, and somewhere in my head, I was like, I've always been told by people that I was a survivor and that they looked at me like, when they saw me, they knew they could make it through. And that was a weird thing to me.
Mm.
In the meantime, you were talking about the 25 close friends that my ex and I met at a, when we first met, he lived in a particular complex.
Uh-huh.
And that complex, our entire section of that complex, every one of those apartments had somebody in it who had AIDS or was HIV positive. Well, according to what I have been told, my ex is dead now
mm-hmm.
and has been dead for several years. Upon his death, I am the last surviving member of that courtyard, of that complex. They are all gone.
Yeah.
And I went, and I know they're all gone because I went to most of their memorial services or funerals, you know. The initial stage of manic crazy led into I'm still here, and I'm going to survive this.
And we have so far.
And we have so far. We're still here.
Yep.
You know, it's I don't know what that click is in our head. I mean, you know, it's just haven't stopped living. We just, you know, it's like I think we both feel like we have something to live for most of the
time. We have something to do,
We have something to do. You've had this for all these years. And
it's really helped.
I mean, and this, doing this became a part of my life, and this was important to me, you know? And if my surviving and seeing how we survive helps other people to get through, that's a wonderful thing to me.
Yeah, because I had a lot of friends who, you know, thought when they got diagnosed, they just decided that they were going to do everything that they ever wanted to do, take all the drugs, get drunk every night, you know, just party.
Yeah. Self-destructive.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Or just curl up and die.
Yeah. Well, let me.
We're going.
Yeah, let me go back to what brought me to this question.
Yes.
And let me also say this just to go back to kind of after preface this whole discussion here. We're doing this not only for my friend, but for anybody out there that has found out recently that they've become HIV positive. Mm-hmm. Okay. Know that there's people out there that know how you feel. Be we HIV negative or HIV positive. We know how you feel right now. Because we know people, or we are people.
We are people. We're
that live this life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's my preface here. My friend, going back to my story now,
mm-hmm.
was talking to me. Talked to me last night. Called me on the phone. We talked online. He called me on the phone and talked to me on the phone. We talked today.
Mm-hmm.
One phrase that stuck out in my mind, and I could tell what was going on in his head. And it's basically what you went through, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And his phrase to me was, "What do I do with myself now?"
Absolutely.
I said to him, and both of you have said this, I said to him, "You keep living your life."
Mm-hmm. It's going to take him a while.
Yeah, and I said, "Look, I'm going to put it to you this way right now." And this is my quote to him. I said, I'm going to put this to you this way right now. Everybody that you have talked to that is helping you out with your situation right now, everybody that has not turned their back on you is going to be there for you the entire time and is your true friend.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that was saying that they were your friend and haven't talked to you since you told them,
forget them.
They don't mean bupkis.
No, you're right.
Me and my brother are still there. My two that are sitting out here are mm-hmm. still there with him. My brother's partner is still there with him. All of us are still there. And
the one thing that he's going to find is that it will change his life because when you get the diagnosis, death becomes part of your life.
Yeah.
And so you start living your life differently.
Yeah. Well, death is part of all of it.
That's not really part of the story that you want to tell.
No. But all of this kind of leads up to what I wanted to talk about mainly. But what he's going through right now is the depression.
Yeah.
And the past few nights.
And you've got to let him do it.
Yeah. And I'm not stopping him in the least bit. I'm letting him go through his stage.
Like I told you, it took me a whole year.
Yeah. And what he's done the past few nights, maybe it's a little self-destructive. Who cares? It's what he needs right now.
Uh-huh.
Is he's been going out and getting drunk.
Uh-huh.
Just to get numb. To forget about it for a little while.
As long as it's just a little while.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going out there and getting drunk and staying drunk 24 hours.
Well, that's
no.
good.
He's just he needs the numbness right now.
Okay.
Until he can wrap his mind completely around what's going on here.
Yeah.
And get and find everybody that's going to help him the way he needs the help.
Sure.
And I understand that. And just like your story and Merlin's story, I've heard many, many different stories of the reactions from everybody when they first found out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different, and he's going through a different experience himself.
Sure. I told the story also,
yeah,
which is kind of amusing, that I found out in 1987 in January, which meant, you know, at that time, 12 to 18 months, you're going to live. So that Christmas, I maxed out every credit card I had, buying fabulous gifts for all of my friends.
And you're still paying for it today, aren't you?
I lived to pay for it, yes.
Yes.
They made a movie about that starring Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. It's a great movie.
So
to continue on mm-hmm. with the saga. Okay, now, a little background. Had Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And to let Sean spend some time with his family, mm-hmm. I took him down to his mom's house. Or where she's living at. It's not really a house, but where she's living right now.
Yeah.
Down, basically, on the southwest side of town.
Okay.
So it took me a little while to get down there. So I'm on my way back. My brother calls me up on the phone. I'm almost home. He says, hey, so-and-so just found out he was HIV positive. I was like, yeah, I saw that on Facebook the other mm-hmm. day. Nothing new to me because I know a lot of people like this.
Yeah.
So it was no shocker to me. I'm like, okay, I'm still going to be his friend. No, I don't care. Here was the thing that set my alarm off and pissed me off.
Yeah.
Had my brother already pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to my mom about this afterwards, pissed her off.
Okay.
Now, he worked for a company
mm-hmm.
that's very nationally known.
Okay.
And being the kind of person he is, and he probably should have done what he did, walked in and let his boss know his new status.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I would, if I was in the boss's position, I would appreciate to know this. That way, because of where he worked at, instead of having him work in certain areas, I would move him to another area to work in.
Wow. Actually, that's not necessary, but go
ahead. Yeah, it's not necessary, but but there's...
Can you mention the type of business this is?
Food service.
Okay.
We'll do it that way.
Okay.
He worked in a food service industry business.
So it doesn't really make any difference.
Yeah. But, I mean, I can understand in some aspects where you wouldn't want them working with certain equipment because you could cut yourself on it.
If you cut yourself, then you take care of that.
Yeah. But that's beside the point.
Besides...
That's
the virus only lives a matter of seconds
yeah.
outside the body.
Yeah, and but that's beside the point at this case. And this, moving him to another position.
So what happened?
Did not happen.
What happened?
He was fired completely.
Ooh, because he's HIV positive.
And it was stated from what I understand, it was stated in this fashion. He was fired, and I quote. From what I heard, because of health concerns.
Health concerns. There's a little matter of the American Disabilities Act.
Mm-hmm.
Merlin?
Yes.
Merlin's quite familiar.
You would know about that.
Vivid.
He's a walking poster boy for the Merlin.
Yes, he is.
Well, not really walking,
just
but yeah.
Watch it.
Now,
wait a minute. I've actually been a poster boy in my lifetime.
Now,
I was
remember,
a spina bifida poster
real
boy
quick,
as a child.
Real quick,
but that's another.
Everybody, one. Remember, we may be laughing right now, but this is a serious
of
matter.
Of course,
absolutely.
But we're laughing at our own selves right
yeah,
now. So
okay.
Don't think that we're laughing
am,
at everybody else.
No.
I am well acquainted with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and one of the things that it was fought to include in the Americans with Disabilities Act is HIV.
Yep.
And by law, You can't. You can't fire somebody for being HIV positive.
Right.
That's against the law.
Because the way you can
and with the Americans with Disabilities Act, you know, those of us who have lived with a disability are take that law kind of seriously.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
yeah.
gotten a, it has literally gotten us indoors.
Oh yeah, and believe me, I'm
unable to open. Yeah.
I understand that with family members that are disabled, yeah. so I understand the Disability Act.
Sure, and with HIV,
yeah,
the way you get HIV is unprotected, receptive anal sex, and I'll bet that's not part of his job description.
It better not.
If it is, I want to know what kind of food service job has that in its description.
Exactly. So
In-N-Out Burger.
HIV is really difficult to catch,
mm-hmm.
and I use the quotes on catch.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Even in food service.
Now, let me take off my comic hat here and play the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Since I seem to be doing that a lot today.
I noticed.
Should we buy him horns?
Anyway. People say I already have them.
He's very horny.
Okay. Now, if it was worded on his termination papers the way it
yes,
was worded,
exactly.
they were covering their base. Mm-hmm. Be saying, for health reasons, I do believe they still consider HIV/AIDS a communicable disease. So, by using that kind of terminology of a communicable disease, that's along the same lines if he walked in and said, I've got hepatitis or I've got meningitis.
Mm-hmm.
So, even though the communicable disease part is not by coughing or sneezing or saliva, but through blood transmission
right.
or a bodily fluid transmission on of that level, they have the concern in that manner. And they worded it carefully enough.
If
they worded it that way, then they were careful enough to word it of the fact that we live in the state of Texas. They didn't even have to put down a reason for firing him. Texas is a right-to-work state, and basically he could walk in and say, he was out and saying, you know what? Things are kind of slow here. We're going to have to let go of some people. You're one of them.
They could have
put down the paperwork saying, well, you know, they could have legally put down and say, well, if he's HIV positive, then he's probably gay, so we're firing you because you're a homosexual. Mm-hmm. And that is perfectly legal unless the international mm-hmm. corporation has that in their... as part of their policy saying we do not discriminate against people with HIV, or against people based on sexual orientation. And even then, it's not legally binding mm-hmm. on that. So...
This is something that I think the ACLU or Lambda Legal is going to have to look at details of the.
There's a lot of details that are still open, but I mean,
It's just shocking.
It's shocking and disturbing that there's people out there that are that.
Well, you're dealing with an industry, you know, the fast food industry, that has had black marks here lately from other restaurants in the same genre
mm-hmm.
where you've had employees bathing themselves in the sinks, picking their nose wiping it onto products like that. You're seeing a lot of this sort of a thing where people are looking at some of these restaurants and going, what is actually going on behind the scenes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always been like that with that kind of restaurant. White Castle, the reason why White Castle is White Castle and their employees are in white uniforms, and their buildings are all white, is because people thought originally ground beef could be any sort of ground animal, and they wanted to show how clean it was.
Oh.
Nathan's Hot Dogs used to give free hot dogs to doctors, so that when you came down the boardwalk, you saw doctors and nurses eating their hot dogs, and you think, hey, that must be healthy.
Mm.
And that is an old stereotype that comes off of the fast food industry.
And you wouldn't think so if you saw how they make a hot dog.
But that's the sort of other thing we're having is you've got an industry that is having to battle a health conscious bit of just, you know, what are their employees doing in the back? And you also look at it from this fact. You have a person who has stated on their Facebook, a very public open space.
Yes, why did he
do
that?
Well, that's positive. He told his employer before he even posted it on Facebook.
Well, that's fine. But the thing is this. It's commendable that he went in and told his employer, but unless the employer is paying for his insurance, the only reason to go in and tell the boss is that you're doing that is because, hey, boss, I'm going to be a little out of my mind the next week or so, maybe. I'm going to be blitzed out of my mind, and I'm having some personal issues, and you leave it at that. You don't have, unless they're paying for your medical insurance.
I know, but he did.
Yeah.
And it harkens back to the 80s when I was diagnosed. I remember those days well because it was a time when if you were a single man and you lived in 77006, which is the Montrose area, you could not get health insurance. If you went for a job interview and any large corporation, if you were a single man who lived in 77006, you got a blood test before they hired you. If you worked in a restaurant as a waiter, people stopped going to restaurants because they did not want to have a gay waiter wait on them. Now that's been thrown by the wayside, and yeah. I mean it was frowned upon then.
The entire restaurant industry.
Yes, exactly. It was.
Well, what's
the government had to step in because it's
well, what's really crazy? Here's what really gets my goat about this, and I say this because my brother told me this part.
Yeah.
Because he used to work for the same company.
Okay.
But in a different store, different location, and everything like this. And he was an assistant manager there. And he knew that there were employees there that were HIV positive.
Because it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Maybe they weren't allowed to work like with something that was sharp and metal.
Okay.
Big deal.
Okay.
Well, there's other things that people can do in those type places.
Okay.
Just to be, I mean, if you're really concerned about something like that, let them work on a register.
There you go.
Let them do other things around the restaurant. Pick up plates and trash and stuff like that. Doesn't matter. But if you're really concerned about the disease, don't let them.
I don't think they're concerned about the disease at all. They're concerned about customers knowing that someone is HIV positive and working there. I think they're still in that frame of mind.
Yeah, I think there's probably still some people like that. I agree. But I mean, whatever the case may be.
It's still against the ADA.
Yeah.
If you can prove it, that was the reason.
Yeah, it all depends on his paperwork.
I mean, exactly.
But I think it's also, I think on some level, the proximity of the firing to the announcement of his status seems to be.
Because if they fired him, then he's going to be applying for
unemployment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there has to be a reason.
Somewhat, but I'll tell you this from experience, okay?
Yeah.
What they tell you they fire you for, and what they tell the Texas Employment Commission why they fired you, can be two separate
things. I certainly know that. Does he have any paperwork at all?
That I don't know as of this moment.
Okay.
That I don't know.
Because that's the thing. I was fired from one place, and the excuse that I was told of why I was being fired when I went and filed for unemployment, they use a different excuse.
Ooh. Did you have anything in writing?
No, I was so. This was a company that deals with security, and at the time I was fired, I wasn't even allowed to be back at my desk.
Oh my God!
There was a two-story thing.
Yeah.
I was brought to the front where the HR department is.
Mm-hmm.
That is in the unsecure area.
And they had your stuff.
And they went up and packed my stuff for me afterwards. And that is why they actually changed what they said. Because if it would have been made official, the reason that they were using for firing me,
yeah.
it would look bad to their financial holders of, you know, when you're working with banking and insurance and mortgage companies and that, when they, like I said, I was officially fired for what they called deceit.
Oh, I remember that.
And when they turned around and spoke to the Unemployment Commission, it was for excessive tardiness. So, you know, and without anything to back up saying what they said, you know, big deal. Even if I had the paperwork, it would just put a black mark against them. It wasn't going to help me any. So I didn't fight it any further.
So we don't know if he has anything really right.
Yeah, as of this point, no.
And the type of company you're dealing with, they may not be paperwork like that.
And they're going to cover their ass.
That is a company with, that's a company that is, has so much turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Has a waiting list of, you know, I can get rid of you and I've got 3 16-year-olds that are ready to take that position this afternoon.
Yeah.
And in this economy now, I've got 4 30-year-olds who are ready to take your position.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there could be.
You know, that's that's the situation you're looking at.
Yeah, he may be screwed.
Yeah. Well,
and even if he was considered a full-time employee, if he was a part-time employee and was fired, there may be no recourse at all.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I think he was full-time, but I can't, I'm not going to even try to speculate that because I don't know
another,
that. That's a whole other thing that I need to talk to him about. But
and it may have been that he was fired mainly because he put it on Facebook and made it
so... Well, it came afterwards, he said.
Yeah, that came afterwards.
Oh, okay.
That did come afterwards.
But, you know, that's one thing you do have to look at when you put these things out because there are companies out there...
Oh, yeah.
...who search for these things, who look for these things.
Yeah.
You know,
I've been open about my HIV status since the very beginning, but I'm not working at a job. My situation... I'm very lucky I don't have to, and so I have nothing to lose.
The three jobs that I've had in the last 10 years, not a one of them, every last one of them knew in advance before they hired me, and not a one of them gave a damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were the fortunate this is not
there is a
affects your job.
There is a good note to the end of this.
I hope so.
Story for my friend. And I found this out last night when I was talking to him on the phone, that because his sister works in North Houston up near where I live at.
Okay.
At a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there with her one particular evening and helping her close up and was helping her clean up and stuff like that. And I guess either the owner of the bar or her boss or whatever the case is, a person of authority that can hire and fire people was there and liked the way he worked. Turned to him and knew he just found out about this and everything, knew what he was going through. Turned around and said, "Here's an application. I'd like to offer you a job."
Wow. Wow. That is good. That is good.
And that's the reason why he's not here tonight, because they called him up because they were their barback was not there tonight and they needed somebody to help out. And they called him up and asked him to come in and help
Fabulous.
Out. So there is a high note to this sad story.
So
I'm hoping that he does hear that. He may not be listening right now because I think he's just now finishing up at work.
Yeah.
So
would,
I'm going.
I would think so. 2:41. Yeah.
Well, they're still probably cleaning at the bar.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm going to hope that he'll listen to this show later on.
Yes,
and here
.org
exactly in the archives.
Yes,
and be able to listen to what we've said tonight and take what we said to heart, and hopefully I'll get him down here to meet the two of you.
Good.
Yeah, you know, the twisted part thing about it is moving from working behind the counter at a fast food restaurant to working at a bar. It's actually more dangerous for him at the bar because you have a lot more contact with the potential of broken glass.
Exactly.
At a bar. Because I don't think there's a thing of glass you're going to find at the back of store, one of those places.
Yeah. Well. Exactly.
You thought I was going to say.
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah.
But like I said.
No, you might find glass that'll be in the food.
Do you remember when Greg Louganis came out and talked about being HIV positive, especially after he hit his head on the diving board,
and oh my God, there was a few drops of blood in the pool, and
yeah.
and that damn Barbara Walters was
a pool
like,
full of chlorine,
oh my
and
God,
I'm worried about.
Weren't you, you know, afraid that somebody could catch HIV? Oh my God, come on!
No,
Barbara.
Because the chlorine killed it as soon as it hit the water.
And the, like I said before, the virus only lives a few seconds outside the body. It's
yeah.
the temperature that the body that the it has to have to survive is very small.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't survive outside the body.
Yeah. And it doesn't last very long.
I was
yeah.
actually watching.
You would have to bleed into somebody's open cut
yeah.
for them to
blood brother, basically.
Yes. Yeah. You have to do the blood
because
brother.
Because
we know of people who that was their cause of infection.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, he's still alive, though.
Yeah, there's lots
is,
of
at least his phone's still active.
Yeah, there's lots of things inside in restaurants and fast food restaurants that can kill the virus instantaneously.
Yes,
if your blood drops into the grease,
forget it.
It's done. It's done as soon as it touches the grease.
Yes,
I mean, come on.
Okay, you're making a fat guy over here decide not to go out to the restaurants anymore.
But
not, it's a true thought.
It's a true thought. Not that it. Not
it's
that it
hard,
has.
It's hard to get it if you're not having unprotected receptive anal sex. It's yeah. very hard to get the disease.
Okay, I'll find out which restaurant it is. I'll check on Squirt. We'll see if there's any reputation for the place.
probably not. But at any rate, that's beside the point. But I mean, like I said, it's just the fact that from the information we gathered, and because there hasn't been any paperwork seen at this point. I mean, it struck a nerve with a lot of people that know him.
I'll bet.
His roommates, myself, it's my just, brother, my family.
It's something that happened 20 years ago. I mean, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Exactly.
I will say this on a as a sort of thing to this, that regardless of how much what legal issues may or may not be involved
yeah.
here. Major corporations really don't like bad news
that's right.
involving
them. They don't want that.
Making
yeah.
it anywhere
yeah.
near the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah.
And these days, you know, for good or for bad, anybody who thinks they got fired for even thinks they got fired because of racial issues or health issues or whatever, or you know, pick your issue.
Yeah.
A lot more people are putting that a lot more of that information's yeah. ending up on the news. It doesn't always get handled in these nice quiet boardroom little conversations where somebody gets paid $1 billion not to say anything.
Yeah.
It ends up on the news, and that and you know, people there's enough people who get a little upset about that to cause them
yeah, but
grief.
You know
when whether or not it causes them any major financial damage, which it
probably
which
won't.
It probably yeah. wouldn't.
Yeah, probably in this situation
the simple,
probably won't.
The bad press involved in it is yeah. often enough to make people proverbially sit up and fall.
Well, I think it's going to be harder. I think when you break the story down into the soundbite version,
mm-hmm.
okay, it might not be as easy to sell to the news. When you say, you know, a mid-20s gay man comes into tells his boss that he's positive and the boss fires him, that's not going to play in Peoria. He would have had a better chance selling. I'm going to sound bad the way I'm saying this, but that story would sell better 3 weeks ago and tie it into the World AIDS Day story.
That's true. Yeah,
this would tie in better if it came in towards Gay
yeah,
History Month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about basically it's not a situation of where we can pick up the banner and wave it around really hard and say, you know, rallied around this time. You're talking about someone who's going to cover the story saying, we had someone in that came in, said he had a communicable disease. Would you want, if we knew someone came in with meningitis or with...
But it's not the same
but
thing.
But the thing is, it carries on the same level.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what we know it is. When you're looking at the fact of your market,
is not gay people. Your market is soccer moms who want to shut up the kid long enough and throw them a meal and a toy in the back seat so that she can get home.
Okay.
You're going to be able to promote it as a fact of saying, we took somebody who had a communicable disease, mm-hmm. and we kept it so that your children can be safe.
Oh, brother. Okay, before we go to music, Jim has been sitting here. And,
no, I'm just listening. I want
to hear what you think about this whole situation.
Well, I mean, it's sad to hear the situation that you know, that's happened to your friend, and
mm-hmm. I know, but I saw you also sitting there and nodding with Chris.
I understand Chris's point of view. Yeah. You're looking at the masses, and the masses is the straight public, and you are the companies can bend their ears towards their way of thinking. I mean, yes, lot of us are open-minded, but like in the small little rural towns that you're dealing with that are still learning and growing, I can understand that you know, if this was to go public, that the corporation might not get that big of a backlash.
But there's still the Americans with Disability Act.
That's true, but there's so many ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, the way that it was stated or the way that it wasn't stated, who said what, who said when.
Yeah, we're going to have to get your friend in here.
Yeah,
to get,
I mean, you really need more information. Yeah.
Even if the company comes out and says, yeah, we fired him because he was HIV positive.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They'll get fined.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe his friend can go and sue.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's the reality.
And if he comes back to work, there's going to be so many restrictions put on him. And the first time he screws up, I wouldn't put past them for putting a plant in there to come in there and get all pissy on him on the front counter and say, here's the tape of you getting back upset with this person. You're fired now, and here's the excuse. So it's not, there's nothing that's going to, you know.
And I've been thinking about the reality of it is,
yes.
Since he was fired for being HIV positive from this place,
mm-hmm.
there's no way he can go back to work there.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to go back to work there myself.
I just don't think the point is going back to work there.
But
I think the point is showing a company for what they are.
Yeah,
you know?
But what's going to happen? But at the end of the day, when all is said and done with this,
they're just going
to
get
that
fine.
Company is going to pay a couple $100,000
mm-hmm.
to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
If his friend's lucky, he'll get $1 million settlement. The lawyers will probably take 3/4 of that.
Mm. Well, 60-40 usually.
Yeah, they'll take a whole chunk of that. And the company's going to come out with a stated policy that says such and such and such and such. We promise to be good boys and girls, and we promise to follow this policy.
And it's going to take years
and
to
it's
get going to
be
board.
True. It's going to be something on paper that they can wave around and say, hey, look and see. And then they tell their managers, you know, the next time you fire someone, if you don't have to tell them why you're firing them, just fire them.
Yeah.
And like, for example, that remember that one restaurant that's still open and still does very, very well, who was firing gay people right and left because they didn't believe in gay people. There was managers who were fired, service
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I remember that. And then they changed their attitude, and it's supposed to be okay, gay-friendly now.
But at that point in time, the public was like, you know, they were like, well, and so, what's your point? We still go. Those restaurants were still packed.
Yes.
Because they truly did not think it was a major issue.
Yeah.
Now, this here, on the flip side, is more of a major issue. But I'm sitting here listening to all of you speak, and I'm thinking, now, what would my colleagues, I know what some of them would say, I know how some of them would react, of all the different types of jobs that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking more of the populace.
Mm.
You know, granted, there are a few liberals who will say, oh, you know, that's bad, we should fight this. But I'm thinking of certain people and, you know, how they would react if they found out, and how, you know, because they have kids or because they're not as open or as accepting. And there's more of those.
More of those who would not go to that restaurant because there's an HIV positive
exactly,
person there.
Exactly, because I'm just putting myself. Now, I'm not saying I would be that person, but I'm thinking of all the people I know in the so-called straight world, how would they react? What would their reasons be for...
Then why do we have the ADA?
Exactly. Because, but to fight for those people who supposedly...
Yes.
Right. But I can still see...
I know.
I can see their faces. I mean, I'm literally looking as he was talking, as you guys were talking, I'm thinking, I used to work here, 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 and here. These type of people would say, well, you know, he had this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going. Yep. Or, I mean, and it was, it turned out to be the majority of the employees that I used to work with in various fields, department stores,
and that's the,
restaurants. Yeah. I mean,
that's even, the reality.
Yeah,
of the
that's
situation.
The reality of the situation. It's sad, yeah. But there's so many loopholes. There's so many ifs, ands, or buts.
That and especially when you're dealing with not a mom and pop organization,
yeah.
But a international.
Yeah.
So I mean, and I really feel. You know, disappointed that the majority thinks like that, but that
do.
Is reality.
Yeah.
You know?
And until we get more details from him,
yeah.
I don't think we.
Yeah, the company should have done the Ben Smart. You could have just fired him for saying "Merry Christmas" instead of "Happy Holidays."
There you go.
Don't get me started on that one, because I've had
you
people look at
good.
Me crazy when I say "Happy Holidays."
I know you don't hear the first part of the show. But I was bringing the show full circle.
Yes, you have. Yeah. So let's go to a piece of music.
Yes,
and then we've got roundtable coming.
PSAs and the roundtable. Let's see, what teaser item do I want to throw out for the
roundtable?
Oh,
my God.
Uh-oh, what do you got tonight?
What do you got?
Oh, I know we've got a lovely Australian story of a father who tried to de-gayify his son.
Oh, my
Ooh,
goodness.
Ooh, fun.
That is fun.
All right. It involves 50-pound notes.
We haven't talked a thing about New Year's Eve, have we?
Not yet. Eh, who cares?
Or the bunnies. Happy little bunnies and their firm little tails.
Because
that's
in
Austin. This is our last show of the year.
Yes.
Technically.
Yeah, it is, actually. It is the last show of the year.
Yeah.
So... How about a
well? Good, because I don't have much time on roundtable.
We'll talk about New Year's and balls dropping and
things
popping.
Oh, I love when balls drop.
Speaking of New Year's,
yes.
how about I play one that has New Year's in it by Clay Aiken?
I'm ready for it.
Here we go.
Let me guess. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's? New Year's Eve. Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the new year, New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy to suppose I'd ever be the one you chose. Out of 1,000 invitations you stand one little chance. Here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing New Year's? New never be the one you chose. Out of 1,000 invitations you receive,
jackpot question in advance. What do you do in New Year's? New Year's Eve.
CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, is here to serve you. CARE Houston has a wide variety of pamphlets and workshops on Muslim religious practices for every type of group, from churches and synagogues to schools and law enforcement, and even corporations and city councils. CARE also covers civil rights issues in the Houston community and puts forward helpful publications in an effort to inform the public about their legal rights as Americans and immigrants. Socrates once said, "The only good is knowledge, and the only evil is ignorance." So if you wish to know more about CARE services, feel free to contact us at 713-838-CAIR. That's 713-838-2247. Or you can also visit us on the web at www.cairhouston.org.
Hello, this is KPFT 90.1 Houston, and I'm Deloitte Parker, Executive Director of SHAPE Community Center. SHAPE, shaping history for the future. For over 33 years now, SHAPE has shaped history by actively working with issues important to all of us. The freeing of Nelson Mandela, the freeing of Clarence Brantley, death row inmate, the conviction and firing of the officers that killed Ida Delaney and Byron Gillum, voter mobilization, anti-death penalty, police brutality cases, nutrition programs, legal clinics, cultural programs, all of these programs working to make life better for all of us today, for tomorrow. For more information about SHAPE, call 713-521-0629. SHAPE Community Center, 713-521-0629. Thank you.
And you're listening to After Hours on Queer Radio with Attitude on Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes on a glow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to
with Lincoln smiling up at the moon. I said to myself, this is your night, guy, and it cannot have come too soon. So I tucked in my shirt tail and stuck out my thumb, and I wished upon a star. And that's when you pulled over and offered me a ride in your car. Come on, let's go anywhere you want to go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where are you going and where have you been? Thanks for the ride. What's your name? The weather is fine, yeah, the prices are high. And isn't everything all the same? You tell me your story and I'll tell you mine. Yeah, the traffic is bad, don't you think? And are you in much of a hurry? Or would you like to go for a drink? Come on, let's go anywhere you want to go. Oh, oh, oh. We drank the beer in your refrigerator. We're having fun now, but the hour is later. The conversation's getting deeper and deeper. But you gotta get up early and we're both getting sleepier. Say you ought to get me home now. I give directions, you drive and we smile. I touch your knee when we pull down my driveway. Would you like to come inside with me for a while? We make love like Chinese silk. On the ground, you gave me a ride in your car. Our conversation led to flirtation, and in bed is where we are. I lean on my elbow and look in your eyes, but nothing is said for a while. Oh, your message is clear, it reads ear to ear. You answer my thoughts with your smile. Come on, let's go anywhere you want to go. I'll follow. Whoa, 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 let's go anywhere you want to go. I'll follow. Whoa, 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 let's go anywhere you want to go. Whoa, 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 anywhere, anywhere you want to go.
Sure. Go ahead and cough on when I turn the mic on.
Well, you know, they're talking about putting cough buttons in here.
Oh, are they?
Somehow way. Didn't know what it meant, but I saw a special has a more commercial radio station that had on and off a cough. I forget what the other button they had on there.
Yeehaw.
Just something there to hide this going.
The toilet flush.
Yeah, this show needs to be flushed sometimes. So, yeah, with the holidays, it's been kind of slow on the news story.
No Christmas trees in weird places or, you know, potatoes?
No.
Hams?
No fruit cake stuck anywhere?
No. No candy canes up each other's butts. No.
Man, you didn't play that song this year, did you?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay.
Played it last week. Let's see. Now, Steve wants... Jimmy wants us to talk about this one, apparently, because he sent me a link to it. Rugby star being gay.
Who? Oh, really, now?
Yeah.
Wow, what a surprise.
Who? What? A rugby star being gay.
Oh, gee, that...
Surprise?
The English?
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah.
is that really a surprise?
That's the British way to do it, right?
Cheerio.
Yeah, I'm surprised on Cam4 when I see any British kid on there going, "You're straight, give it up, come on."
You're British, of course you're gay.
There was one kid on there in a blue bathrobe today all day. It's like, you're not straight? let's see, do that story. Santa's got a boyfriend.
Oh. Awesome.
That's really now?
On several
Since
levels,
when?
But okay.
When did this happen?
So I guess Santa doesn't come once a year anymore, huh?
Whoa!
When did this
happen? Ain't coming down your chimney.
He skipped over your chimney this year, didn't he?
I don't know. It was a lump of coal in the fireplace this year.
I don't think it was a lump of coal.
Crap, now you
was it me. Was it the size of an egg?
Oh, that's right.
No.
Oh, that's right. I saw this one here.
Yeah, that's right. I laid an egg for Christmas this year.
The Santa has a boyfriend thing is a advertisement you can find on YouTube for the social networking site. Yeah, right. Daddy Hunt.
My God.
I've actually seen that website.
And it has this guy going around in the Santa outfit, ho, 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 waving. And he comes home and he kisses his merry elf.
Who's baking cookies?
Yeah, who baked him some cookies. And they're sitting on the couch, basically, shirtless within their underwear.
Lovely.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Disturbing on so many levels.
Oh, yeah.
Very many.
For that, we had a place. I saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus.
Right. You know, I was going to play that tonight, and didn't.
All right, let's see here. Oh. CNN apparently has a gay porn star weatherman.
Oh, really?
So now they're going to try and do naked news on CNN?
We can only hope.
Right?
Gawker notices very wet eye report from World of Men adult filmmaker Colin O'Neill, filed recently from Hollywood, Florida. They write, while not all reports are vetted by CNN, the outstanding ones, like Colin's above, are approved by the news organization and stamped with their eye report logo. It's like a gold star, but it's actually more of a red box, as Gay Porn Blog points out. O'Neill took time out to make this clip between filming hardcore scenes for a gay website, apparently giving a news report on CNN. So he's there in a wet wife beater shirt, pointing out something in the distance, probably some storm that came through. So finally they have a gay weatherman on CNN. Out gay weatherman.
Well, how about that?
We haven't used him all the time. Yeah.
I'm guessing the list of straight gay weathermen on the planet is...
Straight gay weathermen?
Yeah.
You mean straight weathermen?
Straight weathermen.
Well...
It's getting shorter. It's getting
Neil Frank did retire, so...
It's a pretty short list. This is true.
Yeah, but Sister Frank's still on the air.
Oh.
Yeah. The Chicago Free Press, a weekly LGBT newspaper in the Windy City, lost its art director, graphic designer, and most of its writers this week in a walkout over non-payment.
Really? Oh.
the Chicago Tribune had to report because the Free Press wasn't running. The news follows financial struggles, which decreased ad sales for the paper, which is geared toward the LGBT community. The editor, who also left, said Tuesday that the editorial contributions have not been paid since mid-November, and staff members had not received paychecks since they were due to them on December 15th. Other former employees said paychecks had not come in time in the past. The senior staff did not resign. It was just simply a matter of leaving because of non-payment. The company website lists about 20 employees at the paper, which has a weekly circulation of 23,000 to 26,000. The publisher said that he was torn between laying off people and asking them to wait for their paychecks. He planned to write checks on December 15th, but the last paychecks Tuesday evening. The last two or three payrolls, we've been having issues with cash flow standpoint. Over the last two payrolls, we've had to delay some of the paychecks. The editor says he is, the publisher says he is hiring replacements for those who have left. So we have another gay newspaper that's in troubled times.
That's not good.
With that,
well, they've been talking about the age of the newspaper, you know, coming to an end. I mean, everybody wants to get their news on that
on the internet.
On the yeah, internet.
And not everyone has the internet, you know.
Yeah, hello, right here. Stone Age.
Well, you know, it's because
if it was for electricity and running water, you'd be a Luddite.
Yep. Hey, I do have a cell phone.
Yeah, the beard almost will make you Amish.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. He doesn't have the clothes for it, though.
No.
Yeah, they have a little less blue, a lot more black.
Yeah. It's been a while since Berlin's been black and blue.
Yeah, thankfully. I've made a few other people black.
Yeah, or red, don't you mean?
Well, there's that, too.
Here's a story that Jimmy wanted us to cover there. Right. Welsh rugby legend and fullback from Cardiff Blues, Gareth Thomas, has joined the few high-profile athletes who have come out of the closet during their career. I've been all sorts of emotions with this, tears, anger, and absolute despair. I wasn't sure if I ever wanted to let people know, and to be honest, I feel anxious about people's reactions that may affect me and my family. It's been really tough on me hiding who I really am, and I don't want it to be like that for the next young person who wants to play rugby or some frightened young kid. I don't know if my life is going to be easier because I'm out, but if it helps someone else, it makes one lad pick up the phone to Childline, then it'll have been worth it. My parents, my family, and my friends all love me and accept me for who I am, and even if the public are upset by this, I know the love of those people who mean the most to me will never change. I'm not going on a crusade. I'm proud of who I am. I feel I've achieved everything I could ever have possibly have achieved through rugby, and I did it being gay. I want to send a positive message to other gay people that they can do it too.
Gay boys in sports, yay.
Now, the follow-up story on this was they interviewed his ex-wife.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I bet that went well.
I still love Gareth, and I will never stop loving him, says Gemma in her first interview since he publicly announced he was gay. What happened to us is just so terribly sad. He was really the perfect husband in every other way. He said he always wanted to go and have a scrum with the boys and not with me. I'm incredibly proud for him coming
scrotum?
Out.
Scrum? What?
Scrum.
Oh,
rugby term.
Scrum.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly proud for him coming out, and anyone who thinks less of him because of that, then they're stupid. I know it was a massive relief when he told me, his family and close friends 3 years ago, and it'll be even more of a relief now that everybody knows. It's always nice when the ex-wife approves.
Yeah.
You know. If you can get the
so I wonder if she's going to stand in his wedding if he ever gets married.
Well, they can over there.
She'll give away the bride.
There you go.
Whichever one that happens to be.
Yeah, I released him in doing and in doing so, he released himself. Gareth could have waited for years to tell me, wasted my life, and where would it have left me? I was only 30 when he told me, still young enough to meet someone else and have children. How lovely and self-centered of her on there.
How old is this man?
Right?
Huh?
How old is this dude?
Doesn't
mention anywhere.
One moment.
I mean, he's been in the business long enough to become a star in his field.
Oh, that's right. It opens up there.
Born 1974.
Yeah, 1974.
Oh, wow.
That's when I click on that one.
He's a few years younger than me.
Let's see.
Several.
25 Several. July. That, let's see, that would make him...
Love you too.
Turn that knife a little 35.
Bit 35.
Yeah, 35.
Thank you, Wikipedia, who puts it over here on the side.
And, well, at least there's a few things you can trust Wikipedia for.
True.
So, slightly a year older than I am.
Yeah, and he divorced in 2007.
Hmm. Oh, yay. God.
Maybe there's hope for you yet, Merlin.
I will bend you into a pretzel and watch you try to get out.
I probably would.
No, you wouldn't.
We're saving this one for the end.
Okay. Oh, my okay. God. Okie dokie. Okay, what, so what the?
What?
Okay, this is... Let the rest of the audience in on this.
No, you're,
what's going on there?
Stay for the end for the last one there. Oh, no. Let's stay in the UK.
Are you going to talk about? Are you going to save the end for the end?
No, we're gonna do this one. The other one is this one here is rumored.
Rumored?
That's a rumor.
Yeah, it's a rumor that's probably not real. So definitely we'll have to cover it.
Of course, come on.
But
we got to beat Perez Hilton in his own game, right?
But here's a big butt for you.
Big butts.
Yeah, big
from
butt.
The UK.
No.
Because we love what goes over in Britain. Police are appealing to public to help identify a man who is accused of committing bizarre sexual acts against unknowing victims. He creeps up behind them and sniffs their butts.
Is he a dog? Is he in a puppy play?
Possibly. According to reports, the man was caught on surveillance footage at a UK grocery store, intensely smelling a man's bottom as he bent over a food aisle. And this isn't his first offense. Police say he's committed the act at least twice at the same store.
Child got issues.
Somebody just roll up a newspaper and whack him upside the head. He'll stop that.
Police are treating the incident as a sexual assault and hope the surveillance video will lead to the arrest.
Either that or get him a leash.
Yeah. Sounds like he needs obedience school.
Jimmy, when's the last time you were in the UK? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Oh. He's not wearing a pink shirt.
That doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Woo!
That story's definitely going in a direction I don't want to know about. Anyway.
Comes back. It is the butt of the joke.
Yes.
Sticking with the Commonwealth.
And this was our teaser story, wasn't it?
Yes, this was the teaser story. Australia news. A Rockhampton dad is accused of forcing his son to have sex with a prostitute because he feared the 14-year-old was gay.
Oh, wow.
During a family barbecue around Christmas time in 2007, the dad allegedly phoned a prostitute and arranged to meet her at a motel on Yamba Road in north of Rockhampton. The father drove the son to the motel and paid the prostitute in $50 notes. That's right, they used the Australian dollar. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The prostitute took the boy into a motel room while the father waited on the balcony. Dad walked in and out of the room to check on his son and told him he wanted to see a used condom as proof they had sex.
Wow. So is he up for Dad of the Year?
You know?
Is there a Doofus of the Year award? Jackass of the Year?
Look at it this way. He could have beat the hell out of the kid.
True. Yeah.
Could have thrown him out of the house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, he could have done
it. He slapped a condom on him and sent him in to do a hoe.
A $50 hoe.
Well, he paid it in 50-pound notes.
Dollars.
Yeah, $50 notes. So,
wow.
We're talking at least 100. Because notes would be plural, so that means he paid at least two notes.
Okay, so $100 whore.
So.
Someone was a tiger supposedly hooked up with.
Oh!
Some part of me really wants to say something like, "His heart was in the right was almost in the right place, but missed the mark by about a mile." A mile.
His
heart might have been in the.
Are you sure it was his heart?
Brain certainly wasn't in the same zip code.
They were coming out with a new drug called Tiagra, which is good for 18 holes.
Did he just say what I think he said?
Yeah, he did.
He really didn't say that.
So
I stole that joke, so I don't blame
you. So did the boy actually like nail this prostitute?
I don't know, and you know, they don't even say if this is going to trial or anything.
Well, did you read the full article?
Read the full article. I read the full article on air.
No, but it had a link. I thought it had a link for another article.
No.
It had in blue text on the read the full article at in the newspaper.
It's good that someone's paying attention if that's the case.
Where did the father get off making that decision?
I'm actually reminded of the fact that one of my brothers actually asked me, so is this just the fact that you haven't... Do we need to get you a prostitute? Is this just the fact that you haven't had sex with a girl? I looked at him and I'm like, no, this is not really how this works, hon.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not how this works.
What I want to know is, how did that thought even come to the father's mind? I mean, why on earth would you try to force yourself?
Oh, here we go.
You think he's gay?
Uh-oh.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for seeing that note. I didn't see it on there.
Yeah.
After the boy and the prostitute had finished, the dad took the son home. The magistrate found there was enough evidence against the father for him to stand trial for the rape of his son. Giving evidence during the committal hearing in the magistrate's court, the boy's mother testified that she questioned the youngster about where his father had taken him. First, he didn't want to say anything. Then he told me his father took him to a motel room and there was a prostitute there. He wouldn't talk. He just started crying. Police first became aware of the alleged rape when the father phoned the Child Protection Investigation Unit on May 5th, 2008. Detective Sergeant Christine Knapp answered the phone, which the father allegedly accused police of not acting on suspicions that his 14-year-old son was abusing his younger brother. The dad allegedly told the police that he tried to sort it out himself by taking his son to a prostitute.
Okay.
Idiot.
Okay.
Sergeant Knapp then warned the father over the phone before driving the family's home and speaking with the mother and child. The prostitute alleged to have had sex with the teenager has never been located. They said they tracked down the father's mobile phone calls to trace the prostitute's number, but without knowing a date of the alleged offense, she could not track the woman down. The prostitute is described as being about 28 years old, tall and skinny, with tan skin and dark long hair. Sergeant Knapp said the teenage boy appeared quite embarrassed when he was asked by the police about the rape. A date will be set in the new year for matters to be heard in a higher court. So for those of you who didn't get that part...
Okay, to rescind, I rescind that statement about Dad's heart being anywhere in the neighborhood of the right...
No, it was on the other side of the world.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
Yeah.
So, yeah. Father thinks 14-year-old son is diddling the younger son, calls up Child Protection Services saying, hey, you need to look in this, see what my son's doing. I tried to make him straight by taking him to a prostitute.
Wow. Wow.
Dumbass. You don't tell the police even that because you're just setting yourself up to have yourself tried. You told them all the information they needed.
Because you just told them that you made your son have sex with us.
You're setting yourself up to be Bubba's best friend in prison.
Ain't that the truth? You know, and a story like that, I think we did a story about that before, where a woman was... accusing her boyfriend of having child pornography, she handed over the computer to show police, and they couldn't find any of the child porn videos, but they did find videos of her having sex with a dog.
Ew.
Ew.
Wow. Ew. What about doggy style?
Ew.
Jose?
Oh, I know what that's for, but I don't know what the meds I'm taking. I don't know what pills I take. Little and blue. Not that blue. Trust me, if it was that kind of blue, I wouldn't be having the problem I think I'm having.
Sure.
One of the people in here brought in the PDR about prescription drugs I was mentioning earlier about a meds I'm taking that seem to be giving a not too pleasant side effect. All right, so.
Okay, that whole thing. That really goes back to the core issue of. Parents need to stop thinking that their kid is messed up because they're queer.
You know, it's pretty sad when you walk into the therapist and the therapist says to the parent, you're the one that needs the help, not the kid.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if anything news story comes on here. Anti-gay billboard. Dramatic chipmunk sex revenge. Not very pull the stories off of there.
What?
Are you on the rotten again?
No, this ain't rotten. It's sticky.
So it's almost rotten.
Oh, that could be taken in so many ways.
Yeah, well,
I was looking for news stories.
News stories. Oh, that's right.
I was only looking at the articles. I wasn't looking at the pictures.
Okay.
You know that most of the time I have to look up to see the gutter. All right.
That's why we love you.
Let's establish that.
That's why we love you.
All right.
We do? Oh, yeah.
Watch it.
For those of you who did, I know I talked about this word before, but it popped up again. This would have been the book to get Jimmy for Christmas.
Uh-oh. What book did you get him for Christmas then?
Oh, I didn't examine all the angels. A book is recently come out. You can order it online. It's called Natural Harvest, a collection of semen-based recipes.
Oh, my God.
And there's they actually have the cover of the book, so it is true.
It looks like a flan on the front.
It does look like flan.
Semen is not only nutritious, but also has a wonderful texture and amazing cooking properties. Like fine wine and cheeses, the taste of semen is complex and dynamic.
It has a nice minty aftertaste, too, I'm sure.
Semen is inexpensive to produce and is commonly available in many, if not most, homes and restaurants.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it writes itself.
Despite all of its positive qualities...
I was wondering why the ranch was so tangy.
Well, we did tell you it was ranch hand dressing.
Oh, I see. Never mind.
Despite all of these positive qualities, semen remains neglected as a food. This book hopes to change that. Once you overcome any initial hesitation, you'll be surprised to learn how wonderful semen is in the kitchen. Semen is an exciting ingredient that can give every dish you make with an interesting twist. If you're a passionate cook and are not too afraid to experiment with new ingredients, you'll love this cookbook.
And it ships in 3 to 5 days.
I wonder if it brightens up your bechamel sauce.
Wow.
And people at the Renaissance Festival were offended by the unattended children's cookbook. That's got nothing on that.
Let's see, one of the reviews someone asked was, is there any used copies?
Used? Oh! Yeah, but the pages are stuck together, I'm sure.
Only you would go there.
Let's see, one of the reviews.
The mashed potato recipe in this book is particularly recommended by cellmates at every federal prison in the country. Try any recipes from this book and you'll post your experiences. Post up your experiences. If you're chosen as a winner, you'll receive a free visit to the world-famous Club Fed Roach Coach and get a chance to share your recipes with thousands of captive audience members.
Oh, my God.
As if they don't get enough already in the first place.
Yeah, hello.
It's 61 pages.
Ships in 3 to 5... go back to the top.
That's a pretty hands-on...
3 to 5 business days is the shipping time.
That's a pretty hands-on cookbook there, huh?
Oh, and it's paperback. Oh, yeah.
Paperback, hey!
You would have thought that was 69 pages, but okay.
And you know, it's got an amazing price.
Only $19.95. Call now!
Close.
No, we can't say the price because it's not... This reminds me of a joke I saw on the original Latin Divas of Comedy. And the one comedian said, looks like a Hispanic version of Roseanne, and she talks like Roseanne.
Oh, my God.
With... all the potty words.
Wow. And
the seven deadlies.
Oh, she drops them all. And it's just hilarious doing it. But she was making a comment about the one time, you know, she tried all the diet plans and all that. And, you know, they almost kicked her out of a Weight Watchers because she asked them, what are the calories in a good load? You know, because she didn't want to waste it. You know, you're going at it and you accidentally you take one. And you said, you know, I want to know, if, you know, does that mean I have to give up a Snickers bar? You know, And she said no one knew the answer to that, but she said there was some gay guy in the back said, well, it depends if he's old, if he's young, if he's a vegetarian, if he eats red meat.
Oh,
so, the book is called Natural Harvest, a collection of semen-based recipes. And looking at the front cover, I would recommend the man flan.
Extra creamy mashed potatoes, anybody?
Oh, man.
A prison delicacy.
Twist bars, I read a nifty story along those lines.
Oh, no.
I have to revisit that one now. Oh, just an enlargement of the picture. See all that creamy goodness just flowing over the side?
Okay. Oh. All right. Moving
on.
Is
there a recipe for creamy
Please tell me there are other stories.
Oh, wait. There's a website. There's a website.
Oh, right. My God.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't want to come
Jimmy, can I say the website name?
Oh, go ahead.
Wait. Look at it again, Jimmy.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. I just wonder if I can say it. CookingWithCum.com.
CUM.COM.
Oh, and the book was written by Paul Fody Fotenhauer.
Oh, my God. The material just writes itself, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I like mine fresh and raw. Yeah, we know, Jimmy.
Notice, this cookbook is written for consenting diners of semen. Please do not add semen to your guest's food without informing them beforehand. All recipes in this book have been tested by the author and friends of the author.
I love it. They have.
Please. Just don't eat asparagus before you, you know, experiment with this. Moving right along. Come on, what's the next story?
Please tell me there's another story out there somewhere.
The beverages in this book include a high-protein smoothie.
I bet.
Almost White Russian.
Strawberry Splasherita.
Oh my God.
Irish coffee with extra cream.
Oh my.
Cappuccino de semi.
Oh,
I love that first
the
appetizer.
The appetizers are slightly saltier caviar, moules marinades de la home,
man-made oysters,
glazed grilled pink salmon.
Man-made oysters.
Oh,
the main courses are tuna sashimi with homemade dipping sauce,
roasted lamb with good gravy,
veal scallopini,
noodles with special spicy
sauce.
So
now you can make your own tartar sauce for the tuna.
Lumpier lumpia.
And chicken noodle soup.
How about we just leave chicken noodle soup as is?
The sauces are the special S barbecue sauce,
hollandaise sauce,
and a pungent
matzo ball recipe in here somewhere. Okay.
Desserts are a creamy cum crepe.
Cum creme caramel. That's what it was on the cover, is cum creme caramel.
A creamy Claire.
Spunky candied pecans.
Oh my God.
Creamy dessert puma cotta.
Panna cotta.
Oh, panna cotta. Excuse me. I'm trying to read from the angle.
Chocolate truffles with a white center.
And tiramisu surprise.
Wow, lady fingers and, yeah.
Yeah, surprise.
Apparently we can read the whole book online.
So why do you need to go online?
For the high-protein smoothie, you take 1 cup of diced kiwi.
1 ripe banana.
Okay, I'm just
Is
looking.
That 1 or 2 ripe bananas?
But no, here's the funny thing, though. You know, you're talking, what you're talking about, cooking with semen. You take 1 kiwi.
Yeah.
And 1 banana.
A cup of soy milk.
2 to 3 tablespoons of fresh semen.
Ooh.
And ice cubes. Throw everything into a blender
and
liquefy.
Oh my God.
One word of advice when you are putting in the fresh semen, if you are using the blender, please make sure it's not turned on at the time.
We don't want to read about you on the internet here.
We don't want to cover your story later.
Yeah.
Don't become the story.
Because then you won't be using it
for that, you'll be using it as wallpaper paste.
Okay, that was the only recipe they actually completely included in here.
Thank
was the
gods for that.
High protein.
All of them.
Smoothie.
All of them.
What are you gonna do? Go home and try it.
Shut you know what's the scary thing
shut
is
up.
Our book reviewer.
We know you will.
Would love this story.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
Because our book reviewer is Gigi.
Oh yeah.
Oh my.
Gigi would be setting up a kitchen in here.
Oh God.
Email me that link. I want to see if we can get this book still.
Yeah. Anyone would chip in, we'll buy this book. I'll.
Not a chance.
No.
We'll let a couple Gigi. Dollars.
We'll let Gigi. You know. Cook
just
something.
Tell him about it.
No. Gigi can't be involved.
Mexico City legalized a same-sex marriage.
Well, oh, yes, I heard about this.
Mexico City lawmakers on Mondays made it the first in Latin America to legalize same-sex marriage. Any change will give homosexual couples more rights, including allowing them to adopt children. The bill's Capitol Local Assembly voted 39-20 to the cheers of supporters who yelled, "Yes, we could, yes, we could."
Once again, the rest of the world is getting the point, and in America?
Nope, not so much.
Nope.
Mexico City's left-led assembly has made several decisions unpopular elsewhere in the deeply Roman Catholic country, including legalized abortions in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. That decision has sparked a backlash, with the majority of Mexico's other 32 states enacting legislation declaring life begins at conception.
I heard that. Conception.
So, we've got that there. Only 7 countries allow gay marriages: Canada, Spain, South Africa, Sweden, Norway, the Netherlands, and Belgium. U.S. states that permit same-sex marriage are Iowa, Massachusetts, Vermont, Connecticut.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to. But you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.
It was 3 games in 1. They called it the ring toss, beanbag toss, but it was cornhole.
Yeah, cornhole.
And I was like,
you almost bought it.
I almost wanted to go to the bank. Excuse me, this box is mislabeled. I know this is Tomball, but this is cornhole. Cornhole. We spent 40 minutes just reading over the National Cornhole Association's website, reading their mission statement and their rules. It's an actual sport.
Another one of the high points in After Hours' long career.
For some reason, I don't think that one made it to the Pacific Archives.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
Oh, my.
Can't imagine why.
Let's see, here are the buses that are coming out in D.C.
Well, cornholing is a sport in Iowa. No wonder they approve same-sex marriage.
If cornholing is a sport, Jimmy, you're an Olympian.
I know, right?
He's a marathon man.
You know. By now, you know, if it
Jimmy's got
a
lifetime subscription.
If sexual adventures were an Olympic sport, Jimmy would have more gold medals than Michael Phelps.
I don't know if anyone would want to see him shirtless go on a magazine cover with all his medals, though.
Matter of fact, he might have more gold medals than Michael Phelps and Mark Spitz put together.
Yeah, that's because Jimmy doesn't spitz. Jimmy doesn't spitz. He's following.
I forget.
I'm trying to figure out what website.
That's right.
I'm trying to figure out what website it was, but they had a whole bunch of articles on Michael Phelps, and the nickname they give him is Butterface.
Oh.
Oh,
Butterface?
My.
Yeah.
Everything is cute about him, Butterface.
Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, I think he's got a very cute face. Oddly shaped, but still, I think he's very cute.
Well, you smack it in the water all those times and see what happens to you. Right?
So what's up with this bus?
It's got a nose like a tomahawk.
Freedom of expression battle. We talked about this earlier a little bit. The freedom of expression battle is underway in D.C. Stand for Marriage D.C., the most outspoken voice of D.C.'s recent legislation of marriage equality, has placed ads on the district's metro buses, urging that citizens be allowed to vote on civil rights. Full equality now, D.C., once the ads removed by the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, WMATA, on the grounds that they disrespect LGBT residents. Washington Post op-ed columnist Colbert King sides with Mitch Wood, president of the Gay and Lesbian Activist Alliance, who believe allowing the ads... No, wait a minute. Okay, I got confused in there. It's the Moobs picture at the end that's got me. I don't know. For some reason, Toller Road has all these advertisements about Moobs.
Moobs?
Moobs.
Okay.
Look down, you'll see them. Size, I can make that joke.
I know.
Size double D?
I'm an A cup, I heard. I don't know.
Like I said, I was going to do a car wash over at the Big Men's Club. And I'll say, enough. Come in and get your car washed. 33 double D's. And it'll be all these fat guys with the...
bikini car wash.
Oh, wow.
Hi, we'll use them to wash your windows.
You I'm sure the chasers...
Give them a nice buff job.
What chasers? There are none here in Houston. They keep them up in Dallas, the bastards.
In Alaska and Sweden?
Switzerland, Guam.
Good
yeah,
Lord.
I've added Guam to my list now. I got to color in that map now. Once I figure out where the hell Guam is.
Somewhere in the Pacific. Just ask Paul.
All right, and our final little story I've got on here before we go into other less funny things here. I don't know if this is a rumor. If it's fake, it probably is fake. It just seems to me. Because this is on Celebrity Jihad.
Oh, my gosh.
Rumor has it that singer Adam Lambert is close to inking a seven-figure deal to host a show on Nickelodeon.
Wow.
Aimed at teens.
Huh.
If our sources are accurate, the show tentatively titled The Adam Lambert Feel-Good Rainbow Teen Diversity Hour.
Oh my God.
What a title.
Will showcase Adam's singing and dancing abilities while simultaneously combining heteronormative attitudes among teens in American society. Each show will end up with two teens being picked at random from the audience, competing in a dance-off. Winners will be eligible to win a spot as one of Lambert's backup dancers at next year's American Music Awards.
Oh, so somebody gets to get their face planted in
Lambert's crotch?
Lambert's crotch?
Right.
Sign me up!
They also get to get spanked.
For some reason, I'm still fixated on the fact that Adam Lambert's natural hair color is red. I don't know why that fascinates me, but it...
And he dyes his hair black.
And he dyes his hair
and
black.
And he wears more makeup than my mom, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think drag queens wear less makeup than that.
Please.
I mean, he's all black. I mean, black hair. In this picture here, he's... You know, now, the underwear he's holding up, Jimmy would like, because it's pink and says, "Don't judge me."
Too
Yay.
Late.
Actually, what really looks bad in this picture is he could really use some, at least chapstick, because his lips... Maybe some coloring there, because it's just real splotchy.
Maybe he had one of those protein shakes.
Sole female member of this panel is about to fall on the floor because of some of these stories.
Yeah.
She's sitting back here like, no, really? I mean, she's about to fall out of that chair.
Nothing else in here. All right, let's try one of our other sources for news.
I just want to know, when is Adam Lambert going to be in like a Playgirl spread on the internet or something?
That would be hard.
I'm sure there's
it's for information purposes only.
I'm sure there's some camera out
there. Yeah, right. That's not what I've seen you do with it.
Okay, then. Well,
hoping there's some phone pics out there somewhere, you know.
Oh, there mm-hmm. is.
Oh, please, you go on to XTube. There's an advertisement every 5 seconds there for a new Adam Lambert sex tape.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $19.95 to see it. Nothing new on there. So, oh well.
I really do kind of hope that, like many second fiddle folks from that show.
Yes.
His career just blows up into this huge deal.
Oh, that's not going to happen because just yesterday one of the movie stations was playing... what was that one from the first two? From Someone to Someone?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Exactly. Nobody... It was...
They tried to take the male and female
Justin
American...
Justin to Kelly, I think, or something like that, right?
Yeah, from Justin to Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they tried, you know...
Yeah, from Sideshow Bob to Kelly Dean. But Fro is ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm. But let's take American Idol contestants and see if we can redo Frankie and Annette.
It was pretty
bad. I bet it was.
Yeah, well, you know...
I think it was in theaters for all of 2 minutes.
I mean, let's face it. The list of first of actual winners on American Idol who actually ended up having careers anybody gave a hoot about.
Careers?
Careers, yeah. careers.
Careers, if David you call Cook, it that.
Yeah. The folks who came in second... were the ones... there's more folks came in second who have had
better.
Major careers.
Than the ones that came in first.
I understand the winner of this last round, his sales are in the basement.
Who, Archel...
No, the... Chris Allen is a name?
Yeah.
That Christian guy who won the thing the last time?
Or? The one that thinks he's the next John Mayer.
Ah. Nah.
Wow.
That's true.
No, the only one that would come close to being the next John Mayer is a female, Carrie Underwood, probably.
You know,
she's
the only
become so famous and everything.
Yeah, I've managed to make it through every season of American Idol without having watched an entire season beginning to end.
Yeah.
I usually find out who won at the end of these things.
Yes.
It's kind of like the whole dancing thing. I'm like.
Dancing
so
with the
so
stars.
And so won the, you know,
yeah.
Won the dance,
you know,
off.
Won the dance off, and I'm like,
okay,
oh,
so.
Okay, whatever.
Here's a follow up story to something we covered before with a very interesting thing I hadn't seen on this part. Boyzone star Stephen Gately died of a heart condition. Stephen Gately, the gay Boyzone singer who died on holiday in October, was killed by an undiagnosed heart condition, a forensics report has said. Ew. He suffered from atheromatosis. Which I probably just butchered the pronunciation of, which is a thickening of the arteries. A preliminary pathology report said the star died from an acute pulmonary edema, a buildup of fluid in the lungs caused by the disease. The report made it clear he had not been killed by alcohol or drugs. Atheromatosis is considered rare in people under age 50. It causes fatty deposits to line arteries leading into the heart until the heart cannot pump blood around the body.
Mm. Wow. How old was he?
Young.
30s.
Yeah. Wow. See, because, you know, everybody... That would have been the first thing everybody thought.
Well, they did.
You know, everybody was like, must have died of drugs or something.
Well, considering the fact he was seen out at several bars, and he and his partner took a guy home and had a threesome. Mm. And so there was actually a journalist, quote-unquote journalist, in England who made a comment saying this shows the how hedonistic the gay lifestyle is. It causes these sorts of things, you know. He had a boyfriend and still was out having a threesome.
Right.
Naturally, he jumped to conclusions.
Yeah. And actually, there were several complaints about that, about the homophobia of it. Mm-hmm. And the governing body for that wasn't going to do anything until Stephen Gately's partner filed a formal complaint about it, and now they're investigating it for her homophobic comments. Yeah. It also... Gately's mother suggested after his death that he may have been killed by a heart condition, saying a number of relatives had suffered similar health problems. It also revealed that the star died up to 8 hours before his partner, Andrew Coles, realized he was not breathing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So... That's a little bit better news out of that.
Yeah.
And
such could be said about a person's unfortunate death. That certainly.
And
our favorite backwater preacher.
Dun dun dun.
who, don't forget, is coming to Houston next week. He'll be here next weekend, and he'll definitely be, look for anything Jewish and you'll find him. If we had a Carnegie Deli, he's probably going to be over at Katz's Deli protesting, too. He's going to do anything Jewish.
Oh, I'll be over by the Holocaust Museum Saturday. Maybe I'll see him there.
Yeah, he's going to be at the Holocaust Museum. He's going to be at several Jewish temples.
Town Hall, I believe.
He's also going to be at Lakewood Church protesting. And because
everything he always protests.
He's on an anti-Jewish kick.
God hates fill in the blank this week.
No, he's on an anti-Jewish kick, so that's why he's hitting all the Jewish facilities. He's going to be protesting at Lakewood Church because he feels they're false prophets, because they're not using their bully pulpit to go after gays. And, of course, the mayor's...
Well, why are they going to use the bully pulpit to go after gays when they have one leading their church?
And also be here protesting the mayor's inauguration.
When is an inauguration?
The fourth, I believe. But he's also going after Lady Gaga. He's going to pick a January gig by gay-friendly singer Lady Gaga over in England. So all I can say is if Fred Phelps is coming here, I hope he sends his grandson. Because the last time I saw a picture of Isaiah, he was hot. He's old enough to go out to the bars now, so.
Ooh, hey.
This has been After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. This is our final show of the year and the final one of December, as we could do with our continuing tradition of hope for not having to play this anymore. And we will unfortunately be playing it for the next couple of years. As we end each show in December with a Christmas message, this is the one we always have, sadly. It's Melissa Etheridge, War is Over. Happy New Year, everyone. We will be back next year.
Happy
coming
year.
Up next
Happy
is Zydeco Pop Soleil. Let's go.
This is Christmas. So what have you done? Another year over. A new one's begun.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get
me. I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
More than coffee, more than chocolate, more than a massage, volunteering makes you feel good, and it costs less too. Avenue Community Development Corporation hosts group volunteers.